It's the Radical Dad Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rad Nerd Dad Podcast. This is the bonus episode. WrestleMania this year was too big for one night, so we decided that it's too big for one episode, and we'll give all you guys a bonus episode here. Sitting here with Clint. What's going on, Clint?
How you doing today?
So a lot of stuff to cover this week. And
yeah, a whole week's full of WrestleMania.
On a network that really couldn't handle all that, I don't think.
No.
It wasn't a pleasant viewing experience for me.
I think they should have kept the network until after WrestleMania season. And then, like, right after that, switch it over to Peacock. Like, right now, today, switch it to Peacock.
So we're also sitting here with Alex here. He decided to show up today like he was supposed to be. I mean, so we did a lot of recording leading up to actually dropping an episode. We've got a ton of stuff recorded.
He was in on the research and development stage of this podcast quite a bit.
Yeah.
So we're happy to finally have him on a show where we think he's going to be able to contribute quite a bit. younger opinion on this stuff, because I myself am not as big of a fan as you guys are, so I won't have a lot to say in this episode.
Oh, I'm sure Alex is going to give us plenty, though. Yeah, so to give us a little bit of perspective, though, so... You know, we're 35 years old, been watching wrestling since WrestleMania 3. At least I have. Clint was the first show. What was your first turn on for wrestling? What was the first thing you
saw? The Speedos, probably, right?
No, it had to be.
This is first turn on.
I can't even really remember. I can just – my grandpa watched it back for as long as I can remember.
That's why I watched WrestleMania 3. I was 2 years old.
We couldn't afford remember. Like pay-per-views or whatever. We didn't have HBO, so you couldn't watch it when it was on like HBO and all that.
Was WrestleMania 3 the first pay-per-view one?
I think so.
WrestleMania 2 was in a theater or whatever.
You could watch it on
the first pay-per-view, yeah.
Or I believe you could watch them on HBO if you had HBO back then.
Sure.
Like, just being little and watching it with him on, like, him and my Uncle Ralph on, like, a Saturday afternoon would have it on. And us kids would be in there, or we'd be having a cookout, and we'd all just be in there watching it. But I can't specifically think of...
I vaguely remember the AWA shows on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on ESPN. It's, like, where Bischoff first became the announcer, like, as AWA was going downhill. I used to watch that after school all the time.
I mean, it was so popular when we were kids, you know. It was really at the height, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
So, I mean, it was everywhere pop culture-wise, so you couldn't avoid it if you wanted to.
Especially at, like, our peak youth at, like, 13, 14,
sure,
15.
Yeah, right there, it got super big.
It was huge.
I mean, I was telling teachers to suck it.
I mean, if you think about it, right, we had Stone Cold and Goldberg and The Rock. Like, and Hulk Hogan
NWO.
And Macho Man and NWO, all that right as we all turned to the teenage years. Like, we got them all at their
best.
It's
kind of like WWE's
time.
Aged with us, too, because, like, yeah. They were going for little kids stuff when we were little kids. As we became preteens, they were going after the, you know, 18 to 40 demo or whatever.
Exactly.
I got one of the original wrestling buddies that's, like, the pillow, what, right? What was it called? It was just called wrestling buddy, right?
I think so. Is that those the ones that made the noise when you twisted their arms?
No.
Just a regular pillow?
No, yeah, this is just a giant pillow, and they did Hulk, they did
Ultimate Warrior,
Macho Man.
And I think
the Road Warriors, I believe, are both pillows as well.
I ripped mine in half in wrestling practice one day, being an asshole.
This was a gift from my uncle, who later committed suicide, so it's something that I had always held on to. And this was before I ever really watched wrestling. And my cousin Otis was really into it. He had a lot of the figurines and stuff, so I kind of got into it then. And then really wasn't until, like, Trent was into it, and you, and, like, wrestling on trampolines and shit as a teenager.
I watched a couple pay-per-views at your house. I remember that.
Yeah, we wrestled on mattresses through most of them.
$50 WrestleMania. $50 WrestleMania's five ways, showing up at $10. Like, we can watch it.
It's good times.
So, on the other hand, Alex, he's, just turned 22?
22, yeah.
I don't think he knows much outside of WWE, which isn't a bad thing or whatever, but...
yeah, it is.
I mean, there's classic stuff, and he's got a little
a whole world of wrestling that he has never seen. He comes to my house.
He's grew up with me, though, and he knows, like, what I've told him about it or what he's forgot about it or whatever, but, like, as far as, like, having a passion for it and everything...
How many,
like,
nights has he sat at my house
what,
with oh, me and
05
you?
On in WWE? That's, like,
you've
your
done
work
that,
and
like,
knowledge.
Twice,
but we'll sit there and watch two or three old pay-per-views, and he's sitting there just mind-blown.
Dude, yeah, I mean,
like, what is this? And it's like, dude, how, you've never watched this? You've got access to all
this
stuff.
What was your first introduction to wrestling, Alex?
What do you what do you remember, your oldest wrestling memory?
My oldest wrestling memory? I think it was me and you sat at your mom's house, didn't we?
Fuck, I don't know, man. Probably I've been a couple times. Wrestling my whole life.
I don't, it was, you introduced me to wrestling.
Probably.
I believe that.
Because you gave me that, you gave me that fucking big tote of wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, the wrestling action figure. Man, I had wish that. I still had that.
I guarantee there was Indian many a night we watched a Monday Night Raw with him sitting on your lap as well.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee.
Yeah, when I was little, but you know, I don't remember that.
No, you probably do, just not really, like, kind of like how I remember it. I don't remember what I watched specifically, but I can remember right. watching it.
So my first wrestling memory with Alex is actually him coming to Creve Coeur when I was trying to make a run at being a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, and Clint ended up, me and Clint ended up having a match, too.
Yeah,
I forgot
a good
all
match.
About that.
It was a good
oh,
match.
My gosh. It's about like the time me and you tried to be rappers, Zach.
Well, we were mildly successful at that.
I mean, we were mildly successful at wrestling.
You made that referee quit.
Yeah,
you were being so mean.
I did.
He didn't know what kayfabe was, I don't think.
Someone had to be the shit heel. And it was me, and I just told him he sucked.
Clint's wrestling name was 40 Ounce.
He took it to heart.
Took that shit personal.
For nobody had seen me, I'm about 160 pounds, so oh, it makes a lot
awesome.
Of sense for me.
I ain't gonna let nobody call 40 Ounce push me around.
We had a really good match, though. They let
you
us go
about tried
like
to kill me in the first 5 seconds. So,
yeah.
Like, Clint, so, like, we did a little back and forth. Clint got me down. He fucking just slaps his submission move on me, dude. Like, wraps my legs up, pulls my head back towards my feet, wraps my shoulder up in there, and is like, fucking. I'm like, I was like, and I couldn't reach the fucking rope or anything to break it up. I'm like, I think I'm just going to shit my pants right here. And fucking,
announcers,
that'll be the end of it.
Announcers, he's put him in some sort of submission.
Didn't even know what it was called.
He didn't. I didn't either. I just grabbed this motherfucker and wrenched him up.
And then when the ref, like, I finally got to the ropes, like, right before I passed out and shit and fucking. Ref breaks it up or whatever. Clint goes up and like pushes him into the corner and shit. And like, that's completely legal. What are you breaking it up for? Blah, blah. And like after the match, that referee quit and never came back. And he was telling him it was because 40 Ounce fucking was mean to him.
Like the ref's a part of the show. How does he not yeah. know that?
That's kind of
well, and he's a like the ref was just a dude that was hurt that week or whatever and didn't want to be on the card or whatever. He showed up with three ref shirt on him and. Or whatever, like his wrestling name is Bobcat, if I remember right. But
I ruined it for him, didn't I? I'm sorry, Bobcat, if you're listening.
I actually ran into him not.
I was just joking
like
that day. I was. But, I was just trying to be D'Lo Brown shitheel. That's
he,
all.
He does darts, the like dart league in East Peoria and shit. He's cool as fuck.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. I talked to him outside of that. You know, I didn't mean for him to quit and all that, but I did. I guess it's savage with it, man. Dick, I was stomping Dick real good too, and he caught a bounce off the mat and come up and hit the end of my heel real good too, and I gave him a good one in the gut. We really kind of, they gave us like an extra 10 or 15 minutes when we did that stuff that night, but it was a fun time.
I think we opened the show, didn't we? Like we're
yeah,
like, oh,
I remember I missed
all
the next day. I felt like I got hit by a fucking car.
He never did come to do it with me again.
I was hurting.
You had a match? No, you had a match the next week. You
yeah,
did two
dude
matches.
Was like seven times my size. It made sense, too. Didn't it?
Was that a good match?
No. Wasn't. I hurt my back.
Clint's like, I feel like I got hit by a car. I'm never coming to you with this, with you again to this.
It was extremely backwoods though, as well. It was out of a rundown church. So we'll just leave it there.
So anyway, we got big week of wrestling to talk about here. Might as well get started. I don't know how long this is going to last. So, might be up here till 4 o'clock in the morning talking about like we're gonna lean real heavy on the nerd part of the Rad Nerd Dad podcast right now
right.
And
very
dive
heavy.
Real deep into well into wrestling.
It's real to me, Dad.
Before we get going, what's like WrestleMania for me was always like the culmination of everything that you've gone through all year long, like the culmination of all the storylines, all the titles, everything meant something at WrestleMania.
Ideally, but
everyone was fighting for that spot all year long at WrestleMania. You got to WrestleMania, they gave you the sweet video package going into WrestleMania, you know, of like the old Freddie Blassie or somebody like that talking and saying some kind of mythical shit. and it'd show like Stone Cold in there, Macho Man dropping the bow, Hogan doing his thing, going down the ring, and the crowd going nuts and shit.
That's over when they started booking like WCW in 2001 and just bringing back legends all the time. It's like, hey, we don't really know why he's here, but who cares? Because he only shows up once a year anyway.
I remember just being little and watching WrestleManias and like that being one of my favorite parts of the show. What about you?
No, yeah, I mean, they've always got a great video pack. Even this year's video package going into it was
kind of reused. What's like your favorite thing about WrestleMania, though? Just before.
It's just a. I mean, to me, it is what is wrestling. Like it's my I know that you're real into technical wrestling, and we argue about that stuff all the time or whatever. But like to me, it's sitting on my grandpa's lap watching fucking Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant.
Just the biggest matches on the biggest stage.
The immovable force meets. Or the unstoppable force means the immovable object or whatever. And it's just everything's big, man. And this year's, you know, they were it was a circumstances last year, you know, totally threw everything into left field with COVID and everything. And then they had to do a WrestleMania from the Performance Center with no audience or whatever. And this is the first time we've had, what was it, 25,000 people?
Yeah, 25,000.
In Raymond James Stadium or whatever. So, like, this one kind of felt big. It kind of... it felt a lot bigger than last year's, of course, but even with the restrictions of 25,000 people, like how long it's been for me since I've seen it. I haven't watched wrestling in a while. Not, you know, I'll keep up on it and everything on the internet,
it's
but
not
like,
the same without the fans, dude.
Man, their and job I'm, is to put a butt every 12 inches.
I'm
and
just a casual observer, and like I can notice the difference.
Yeah, and I mean, WrestleMania is always that one night that you get to see stuff that you don't see every night of the week. Your feelings for the year are justified, and it's always a big presentation. It's always fun to see people return and all that. So, like, I've got real high expectations for WrestleMania.
Me too. Every year. Yeah, me too. What about you, Alex?
I think my favorite is the set. Like, you know, they put on different sets every year.
The pirate set was pretty sweet this year.
Yeah,
had some technical difficulties with the flags on it.
Someone didn't get their full pyro when they were coming out. Either the little sticks didn't light on. I think it was Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
His sticks didn't light on fire all the way down the ring because of the rain.
I don't know. Just the creativity that they put into it, like the sets.
It's a lot of moving pieces, man. Yeah. Right?
They don't do as much as they used to because they used a lot of the laser light show stuff now. But back like in the day, they used to put up giant actual, like he's saying, like giant sets before you would come out. They, you know, WrestleMania would have like a certain set piece to it or whatever.
Pretty sure. Much like even if I'm like have fallen away from watching wrestling or whatever, I'll generally watch from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. That's when I'm the most excited about wrestling as a fan. Summertime, you know, it gets warm out, you go out and do shit, you might miss a lot of stuff.
I mean,
it's
that would be like in other sports, like the playoffs, you know. Yeah, it's like the playoffs much. And yeah, then
it's our
WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know.
And I've never missed a Royal Rumble or a WrestleMania. Like, however many shows I don't watch throughout the year and all that stuff, I've never missed a Royal Rumble or a WrestleMania since I started watching them. I mean, so I was a WCW fan until they shut down. So I missed a couple of really important WrestleManias, like WrestleMania
and Royal
15,
Rumbles too, buddy.
And Royal Rumbles. But I did watch WWE from, like, the time the Royal Rumble was invented and Jim Duggan won to – I don't know, probably 95, 90. Well, as soon as the NWO come out, I was hooked. I was following Hogan.
Not to mention this pirate theme.
Where Hulk goes, I go.
Strange fact
is,
as much as I don't like Hulk Hogan, for a present when I was a child, my first wrestling toy was a Hulk Hogan doll. But he was everywhere when we were kids. So.
Dude, on everything, lunchboxes. He transcended
WWE. He squeezed his legs and his hands went above his head. That was it, though.
Dude, I still got that. Man. So my mom gave me a box of what was left of my wrestling collection and of my wrestling action figure collection. And it's sad because I think I had so much more. But it's also I haven't seen them in like 15 years. So I sat there and I'm not going to lie. I'm not saying I didn't play with them.
He had wrestling matches.
He had a Royal Rumble.
Well, you know. And some of my
this is how WrestleMania should have went.
And did you convince Deke that that's how WrestleMania should have won?
Deke's not touching my wrestlers.
That's why I said he get to watch the show at least?
No.
No.
This is in the HQ by myself.
You didn't even get to have a. Oh.
No.
That is sad.
No, I bought him his own wrestlers. He ain't touching my shit.
So you're in the HQ all by yourself trying to be sneaky about it. Like, I don't want to be too loud because then the kid might hear me and want to come out here. And then I got to put on a show for him.
Most of them are broken, though. Kind of makes me angry because some of them be worth money if they weren't broke.
You know, me and another friend of ours who had a bunch of wrestling toys when we were younger, we had a when we were probably too old to be playing with wrestling toys one time, we had a Royal Rumble, and he still had bunk beds when he was too old to be having bunk beds. I mean, this we were still in high school, but headless Shawn Michaels won our Royal Rumble, so you can broken toys can win, bud. It's
root just, for the underdog.
As long as you got the imagination, you know, like his head was there in our minds. It just wasn't in physical. You know what I mean? He was still the heartbreak kid, though.
So, this week, so Raw, of course, but then Tuesday night started off with the, was it Tuesday night had the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it was Tuesday night was the
Tuesday
first.
Tuesday night, yeah.
Yeah. It was the 20.
And they had both on the same night, right?
No, they did one night and then the next night.
Oh, did they? I know I watched both.
Tuesday night was the 2020. Wednesday night was 2021. And then...
So the 2020 Hall of Fame.
No. They did do them on both the same night. You're right.
I thought they did.
Because TakeOver was Wednesday, Thursday, because Friday was SmackDown.
Oh, that's right.
And then Saturday was the first night of WrestleMania. So you're correct. That's my fault.
I didn't know. I didn't write it down here. But so let's just start with the celebrity wing, get it out of the way. Fucking William Shatner.
William Shatner, bud.
Oh, I see. He's coming like with. William. I wasn't. I get it. I guess. Like you gotta. Shatner. I guess kind of keep the.
Was he just on that one show with the, where they showed him where he had the black jacket on or whatever? What was that?
He was on like a Raw or like a something. It might have been a Saturday Night's main event that they did back in the day, and then he hosted Raw when they were doing the thing where they let celebrity. Thing. Yeah, that's
when was that like 06, 07?
I don't remember what year those were when they were letting
celebrity guest host Raw.
Yeah,
I can't tell you what years those
were.
When
I first started calling William Shatner.
That was just really bad wrestling years, so it's a huge blur for me right through there.
I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan, but I think
those were years when I became a TNA fan and kind of in the other direction a little bit.
They, I don't know, man. The celebrity wing is overdone. I think, like,
yeah, but
the
they
people
kinda,
that were real important to it's in it.
They kind of got to have it a little bit. Kind of keeps celebrities wanting to be
it's
involved
just like
with
every
them.
Celebrity that's in it. I mean, I get it, it's WrestleMania. That's why it is WrestleMania.
And it's a cheap pop when you put somebody like Shatner in there. So, you know, he's and there's probably some sort of get back from that at some point somewhere that we don't know about.
The, I don't know. I mean, you sold me on Shatner. I guess he's worthy of the Hall
of
Fame.
It's whatever for me. Any more of the Hall of Fame is just kind of silly anyway. So,
out of all the inductees, Alex, who was night one, 2020 Hall of Fame, who was your favorite to go in? I think I know the answer.
JBL.
Yep, that was my guess.
JBL?
Yeah.
I mean, that's because that's when he was coming up, dude, when John Cena was like John Cena versus JBL for the world titles and shit. That was his jam in like third, fourth, fifth grade. Like when we was going to school chopping DX, telling people to suck it, Alex was
quoting JBL.
Telling, you know, being pissed about a wrestling god and hoping John Cena did the five knuckle shuffle on him.
So when you were a little one, you were going around proclaiming that you were a wrestling god.
Yeah,
I wrestled you and beat you. Mason wrestled you and beat you.
Okay, for one, Mason's a luchador, so let's
totally different.
He can't even grow a mustache yet.
Shut up, bud.
He put the moves on you.
Mason has a mustache.
But you know what? It's okay because JBL can't wrestle either.
Well, Mason came out of nowhere, so like it was
dog. You charging him?
I did charge him.
JBL can't wrestle anyway, so it's all good.
So who was your? Out of that list, who is your favorite to go in?
Come on.
You're going to say, well, you're wearing an NWO shirt. Right
well,
now.
That's not where I'm going, though.
Oh,
I'm
that ain't where you're going?
British
you're
Bulldog,
British
buddy.
Bulldog.
British Bulldog. He deserves it. What a career the man had. What a life he led. You know, guy that breaks his back.
Dude, on some stupid shit, on some Sting trap door fucking
WCW.
Eric Bischoff move, dude.
WCW.
Somebody needs held responsible for that. To be honest with you, because it's. Like, he was never into anything, and then he broke his back on that.
Yeah,
and
addicted to pills really bad, yep.
And then died of a heart attack.
Yeah, but he got another small run in WWF before his life ended. His last match he actually got to have with his son, who presented, you know, accepted his Hall of Fame.
You want
to
know what British Bulldog, what my first experience with British Bulldog is, the Revenge video game on 64.
Oh, so not a very good one.
I was like, who's this British Bulldog? I ain't never seen him on WCW before, but he was on the game.
He was only there for a minute because he broke his back. Yeah. Yeah, man.
He left when Bret Hart came over and shit, right?
Him and Jim Neidhart, Owen Hart's the only one who stayed other than Brian Pillman.
I was really excited about his son, Harry, accepting the award or whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was very cool. Looks a lot like him, doesn't he?
Right.
Sick.
He's coming to NXT UK, right?
That's the word around the campfire, but I haven't seen anything official. So hopefully, if he does, it'll be him and Walter, I do believe. Walter's been the champ for like 2 years.
Do you remember when Harry Smith was in WWE?
I don't recall.
They had the small little remake of the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, the new Hart Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
It was him.
Natty, Harry, and...
Teddy was with him for a minute, but he got fired real fast. Real quick.
Teddy's wild card.
I
think he's in jail right now.
Well, it might be where he needs to be.
I don't know how he got out of prison last time. I heard him on a podcast, like, talking about, like, it was just, like, chance circumstance that he got out. I was like, I don't know how I'm here today, dude.
If anyone was going to find a loophole, it would probably be him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, Bulldog deserves it. Just him and Bret Hart at SummerSlam Intercontinental title main event. That's all I need to say.
You know who my favorite inductee was?
Inductees?
No.
Oh,
singular.
Let me take a guess at this. Hulk Hogan?
No.
I mean,
not at all.
Damn.
Not the NWO.
Gotta be, I know, I think I know.
Justin
Liger? I'm not gonna say it. You drop it, you tell me. I think I know, though.
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Really? Okay, I was off then.
And only because I've seen Sean Waltman, I've seen Kevin Nash, and I've seen Scott Hall, and I've seen Hulk Hogan, and they're all multiple time Hall of Famers now. Sweet, that's awesome. I love seeing them on there, and they're my favorite wrestlers of all time. But when I saw that Jushin Thunder Liger package, when they first announced he was on there, dude brought me back to 1996 Cruiserweight Division WCW.
See, I don't know nothing about that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a...
you need to utilize your network.
Yeah.
And watch them Cruiserweights whenever they put them back on there.
Utilize the Peacock.
Because that's part of the only reason I watched WCW. Ugh.
I'd give you a dollar if you could find Jushin Thunder Liger on the podcast, or on the Peacock that wasn't part of the Hall of Fame.
Probably not right now. Again, like maybe late August. Yeah,
maybe by SummerSlam.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll give you the option to start from the beginning and be able to rewind or pause by SummerSlam. But WrestleMania,
they're late with it too. Their NXT wasn't even on there today, and it's always on the network a day after. Shame on them. Shame on them badly.
Yeah,
are they streaming Raw on there too?
That's a $1 billion deal.
Mm-mm, I think you got to have USA to watch Raw. Raw's like.
It's a live
like a
show.
Month behind for the network, so it's probably.
Is it too early for the Bellas to be in the Hall of Fame?
No. I don't know that.
No? Are you a Bellas fan?
Yeah, it's fine. Get them out of the way now.
Yeah.
So we don't got to deal with them no more. And I think
not because they're hot, but, you know.
I think it's smart to put them in now that we don't got to deal with them anymore.
They led the women's revolution.
No, they were the fucking end of the fucking divas bullshit.
They were the only ones who stayed from the start of the end, kind of the mid part of we need to see everything hanging out, ladies, to the beginning of the women's revolution. But to be honest with you, I think
the OGs of the women's revolution.
I think that TNA. Started the women's revolution as far as wrestling goes for
the
women.
Knockouts, dude.
And then it kind of waved over to WWE when the NXT thing started and Paige and AJ Lee. And then AJ Lee dropped that pipe bomb, which they don't talk about anymore because why? She quit the company. And her husband's who? CM Punk. So let's forget about that happening, right? If she was the one who did it, she came out and dropped that bombshell that night. And the Bellas were a part of that when she was talking about them up there looking more. With their butt cheeks hanging out rather than being technical in the ring. And at that time, AJ was the only one who was being an actual in-ring technical.
Was she Paige was the anti-diva, right? What was AJ Lee's?
Oh, I can't remember. That was too long ago for me, but she was the Black Widow or something like that, yeah. But she was the only one who was putting on actual wrestling matches. The rest of them were in the skirt, take your skirt off matches and all that fucking little weird girly shit that they were doing, you know?
I don't know. You know, so Total Divas is my guilty pleasure, to be honest with you. And it's not just so much the chicks on there or whatever, because they kind of keep up with, like, the behind the scenes and shit. Like, Dino's been on there, got crazy. It's all keeps up with Daniel Bryan and all that.
You mean the Mox?
But yeah, John Moxley. He was, like, freaking out on somebody when they were sitting at an outside table or whatever, and like somebody said something, he like jumped up and jumped over the fence and shit.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm fine with the Bells getting them in there early, so we can we don't have to worry about them no more now. I don't think the Hall of Fame is going to be a thing in three or four more years anyway, though. So
you don't think so?
No.
Dude, they got to build a physical one.
They're running out of people.
Me and you would totally take a trip to go see the Hall of Fame.
Right, but they're running out of people. They're going to get to the point where they have only the guys that are exiled, and you know what?
Chavo's still out there.
Yeah, he ain't going to be in there. He ain't.
I didn't know Titus O'Neil was
Warrior Award.
Yeah, the Warrior Award. I didn't realize how, like, I knew he did charities and stuff, but until I seen that opening package, I didn't realize, like, how deep he got into it. And especially since the pandemic started feeding, it was something ridiculous, the number.
Can I be honest with you? I still thought he was trying to figure out how to get out from underneath that ring. He slipped and found it. No, it's good, I guess.
He liked, Mandy Rose, when she slipped or whatever on the entrance. She threw that up on Twitter or whatever, and he liked it, or he commented on it. I don't remember what the comment
was.
But he was like, it's okay. It happens to the best of us, or something like that.
Well, he's not got no feet in the ring anyway. He's an uncoordinated individual in the ring. I applaud him for everything he does, though, for the community of Tampa and all the kids and everything. You know, it's really it's a wonderful thing, to be honest with you, to see someone do that much charity work. And for WWE to keep someone on to just do that charity work, because normally they don't. Keep a guy around. He don't wrestle. When's the last time you seen him wrestle in a match?
Well.
And when was the last time you even seen him in gear standing backstage? Because, you know, they make him stand in their, like, awkwardly in their underwear and boots and not wrestle.
Didn't he take over from host after Gronk last year?
Yeah, I believe so. But do you know what I mean? They'll have, like, an awkward segment where there's a dude on there in his outfit, but he won't wrestle. And it's like, why is he in wrestling gear if he's not wrestling?
Did you notice how many suits he had this year?
There was a lot of
he got rained on a couple times. So
every suit he was in was a different one.
The pirate suits were the best. The pirate suits. I'm a fan of Pirate Hogan.
Dude,
I truly am.
That was the best
I
Hogan
truly
I've
am.
Ever seen. Red and yellow pirate gear.
But yeah,
was
good,
the
good
shit.
For Titus. Yeah, I guess.
So you know, you keep saying that they're running out of people and everything, but they blow through this legacy. I blinked and missed it. So who was part of the night one or the 2020 legacy wing?
2020 was Ray Stevens, Brickhouse Brown, Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Dude, yeah, how could he not go in? Like, we're running out of people, but we're going to throw.
Brickhouse Brown was a decently
Dude,
famous
Ray
African-American
Stevens.
Wrestler from the late 60s, 70s, I think.
They got Baron Michael Leon, Gary Hart.
Gary Hart, dude, a manager from
WCCW. Yeah, I was going to say, you know when we were doing our wrestling draft that never made it to air? I was going to pick Gary Hart as my manager for my group before I decided Vince McMahon.
Dude, I had Gary Hart crossed out.
Dude, he had some champions underneath his belt.
Dude, WCCW back in the day, dude, it was the shit. Man, he could go in by himself. Why'd they throw away legacy and, like,
That's why in a few years it's not going to be a thing. It's not.
All right, for the 2021, it's Dick the Bruiser.
Hold on. When you're 2021 yet. I ain't there. So then they started, who was the first one that went in on 2021 night?
Dick the Bruiser.
Not that, the Legacy Wing. Molly Holly, was she the first?
Yeah.
I think so. I believe that's who came out first.
Yeah. So yeah, dude, she's definitely deserving of the...
Miss Madness, bro.
Dude, they didn't...
WCW.
Dude, they didn't say nothing about her coming out with Macho Man and WCW being Miss Madness.
Why would they? They didn't say nothing about... She didn't say nothing about Crash and Hardcore either.
Oh, she didn't either.
And her last name's Holly. Imagine
that.
Man,
and they threw Rikishi under the bus for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She owes her career to them. That's how she started.
Well, Macho Man and WCW is how she started, but WWE-wise, she got in the foot in the door by becoming her starting as their little cousin. But yeah, she didn't talk about none of that at all.
They covered Mighty Molly, but they didn't cover... I forgot about Mighty Molly.
But
when they were doing the superhero shtick.
I think it's just a little strange that they didn't talk about that. That was a big... Like, the attitude era was when she came in. Why wouldn't you? They talk about it all the time.
Who was your favorite night, too? Or... 2021.
RVD.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Trying to sell his rolling papers at WrestleMania. What was he doing?
Yeah, dude, that was hilarious.
Definitely wasn't PG.
No.
I look over to my dad. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Like,
I think RVD was so high at the Hall of Fame, he forgot what he was talking about.
Let's three, about the three sunglasses. Different times.
He was high.
I don't know. I was texting you the whole time like, this dude doesn't know what he's talking about. He just seemed like
a kind of rambled, didn't it?
Matt Riddle looked high too.
Oh, well. But you know what I mean? Like he just, he's like when someone makes a speech when they're really drunk and they get halfway through the speech and they're like, fuck, I don't remember what I was talking about. And then they keep on going. Like, Rob, just stop, man, while you're ahead.
Who was your favorite?
Eric Bischoff.
Oh, man, that was my pick.
That's who I thought you were going to say earlier, but then I forgot we were in 2020 and not 2021, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Dude, nobody not named McMahon has done more for the wrestling industry than Eric Bischoff.
Well, not only that, but he was someone who has always said he didn't ever think he'd get into the Hall of Fame and didn't really want to be in the Hall of Fame.
Last year they announced the NWO and they didn't announce him, and it was kind of like a big deal.
Yeah, people made a little bit of a deal about it, and he didn't care though. He said it was he said he was more happy for them guys to go in than anything, but extremely humble about the whole situation. A guy in his position,
he didn't know that. He didn't know that Kevin Nash still got a piece of NWO merch and was like, oh, you're welcome, Kev.
No, I like Eric Bischoff a lot. You know, he made me somewhat of a fan of the
NWO.
I'm
pretty much, if I'm driving to work, I have Bischoff on the radio.
So, and he does his 83 Weeks podcast is really good, too. He has a lot of good insight on like old wrestling. And I don't think he bullshits, really, to be honest with you, as much as he remembers. And well, Conrad, don't let him bullshit either when he tries to.
Well, his podcast before that with Ryan Satin, like, I don't remember. That was a long time ago, blah, blah. And he kind of, like dished off responsibility on some things. Yeah. And then Ryan Satin, I listened to him, like, almost every morning that it dropped or whatever. And, like, one morning they just stopped putting out podcasts, but the week before or whatever, he was making fun of Bischoff for having his shirt tucked in. And then they briefly addressed it on 83 Weeks or whatever, and Conrad, like, brought it up, and Bischoff got pissed and, like, talked shit about Ryan Satin. And, I mean, he really don't know anything, Ryan Satin, don't he? You know.
He looks goofy. I know he's really short because I seen him on Monday Night Raw in Peoria. And he brushed right past me and my brother. Somebody fucked up when he left the building because when he left through like the crowd instead of like where you'd think they would go out the back. And me and my brother were going to leave the front of the place in Peoria, and like his security and everybody come pushing everybody out of the way, like caused a giant sea in the middle of the fucking place in the middle of the Civic Center in Peoria. And like he was on a cell phone pissed off at whoever he was talking to, as all these giant men were just shoving people out of the way, and we weren't even paying attention until we got shoved in the back and shit. And we got like moved out of the way, and we're like, what the fuck is going on? And we both look over, and it's like Eric Bischoff right here within a few feet, and he's on his cell phone just going hard on somebody. And as he's walking out the front door, his limo's sitting in the front door. So somebody fucked up, sent that limo to the front door instead of the back, and he had to walk through all them people. And of course, people were going nuts and screaming and taking pictures and shit. It's Eric Bischoff, oh my God. But I was taller than he was, and I never thought that he was like that short of a guy. I guess maybe because you see him wrestling in the ring and you see him on TV and you just think bigger than life, so they're taller than what they really are. But Mick Foley's a really tall guy. He's like 6'2".
I know, right?
I always thought he was like 5'8".
So did you see the video of Undertaker announcing to Kane that he was getting inducted in the Hall of Fame?
No, I cried.
I missed it.
Oh, dude, it was sweet.
I missed
Glenn Jacobs about cried and shit. He was doing an interview or whatever, and they brought Undertaker on, and Undertaker announced it or whatever, and he's like, oh man, if it wasn't for people like he was so humble about it and everything, and like
yet again another guy who deserves it.
Everything.
As much stuff as he's done in the wrestling world, like.
And he's been around forever. Like,
he was Dr. Isaac Yankum. Come on.
Wasn't he like a fake Diesel too, right?
Yeah, he was the fake Undertaker at one time as well. And a slew of other characters, I'm not sure. And then like 30 different versions of Kane.
Yeah, he was always evolving. Like they always talked about the longevity of the Undertaker and everything, but like Kane's right behind him.
Yeah, so very deserving. Put on a lot of good matches. When I was a watching wrestling 97, 98, when he first showed up, dude was legit scary. Yeah. Like, he legit scared you. He looked scary. Like, he, like, as his character got on, he evolved, he started to talk and got into some comedy sketches and kind of some goofy stuff. But when he first showed up on the scene, like, he was, like, Undertaker-ish.
When he had the voice box thing?
Not even before that, when he didn't talk at all. He just showed up and just fucking ripped ass and left. And, like, when he came out, they would do with him what they do with the Fiend now. Well, they stopped doing the Fiend, but they started. Red. Everything was red, and then people would try to wrestle him, and everything was red or whatever. And then whenever he'd do the fire and all that, then the lights would come back on and shit, and he'd leave and everything. But yeah, man, he was just legit like a monster, man.
So I know one person on this list that you don't like, and I actually think he's very deserving in the Hall of Fame, and that's the Great Khali.
Oh, fuck him.
But, dude, so, like, you can't underestimate the population of India and the revolution that it started in Indian wrestling.
Fuck him, that's
wrong,
but I don't think.
fuck him.
Well, he just never, ever put on.
Didn't
other
he
than
kill
when
somebody
he,
in wrestling school?
I think so. But dude, he's if a not, fucking then he giant. Paralyzed him. But, like, other than him, like not being able to talk because he doesn't speak English or however. Like, he's not Hindu. Very good. Like, putting him in a segment like that where he just says some ridiculous shit and it makes everybody laugh. Like, the dude couldn't take a bump because his legs are, his knees are like locked straight.
You know my favorite Great Khali? Longest Yard.
Yep.
I figured you'd say the Punjabi prison match.
I have the.
I know. I know you have the toy.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the whole set.
Thanks,
you see
Chuck.
You see his hand, like,
I
had the ring on?
I bet that's a big ass ring.
They had to customize that ring.
The only reason they put him in there is because he's like Andre the Giant status, and that's it. Like, he's Giant Gonzalez makes the Great Khali look like he can't wrestle. Like, that dude was bad. He wore an outfit with hair on it. The Giant Gonzalez did. It's like a Sasquatch outfit. Like a muscle outfit with giant hair on it. And the Great Khali makes it look like he could be the champion of the WWF. It's bad.
No, son.
It's bad.
No.
It's real bad.
Was that WrestleMania 9? Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez?
Gonzalez, yeah. He showed up at the Royal Rumble and got in the ring and then knocked the Undertaker out of the ring and then got himself and then climbed right out of the ring himself and wrestled the Undertaker to the back. Why, if you can throw the Undertaker out of the ring, why would you not stay in the ring and throw everybody else the fuck out? Become the fucking champion or go for the champion. Nah, he just wanted a piece of the Undertaker's ass.
That's funny.
Fucking ridiculous.
Ozzy Osbourne, Celebrity Wing? I don't even remember
fucking Ozzy Osbourne.
I don't remember him being on wrestling ever.
He hosted one episode of Monday Night Raw in that era of the. That's it.
Yeah, I think was it with his rest of his family?
And he wasn't even there. I don't think. I think. He was there. He was in the back all the whole time, sitting in like a chair. And then they brought him out at one point in time, and he sat in a chair, and people came out and said things, and then he just like heel people would come out and cut a promo on him, and then he would just talk like, "You're an idiot."
An idiot. I was glad to see, though, that the Warrior Award going to not that all the previous Warrior Award recipients haven't been worthy of being noted and everything, but before Ultimate Warrior died, he meant the Warrior Award to be for the people behind the scenes that you don't see,
right,
or whatever. And really, this Rich Herring is the first a recipient in the spirit that the Warrior had intended. 50-year employee of WWE, bringing it from a regional promotion to national and beyond. I don't really know anything about him other than that, but I don't know. I was excited to see that. And then, of course, I blinked and I missed it. What the hell? Who were the legacy members?
I didn't miss that one, too.
I got it right here, Dick. Dick the Bruiser?
Dude, Dick the Bruiser. Well, yeah. Just thrown in there. And like,
yep. Pez Whiteley?
See, and that's why I like the Legacy Wing, because I write these people's names down and go look them up, because there's like, I've got like blocks in the 20s and 30s and 40s. I don't know what was going on in wrestling.
Buzz Sawyer?
Buzz Sawyer.
Dude, right?
Shit on by the WWE.
Ethel Johnson.
She was the first African American women's wrestling,
like the '50s or whatever.
First one.
Oh,
and she gets
the. She was the very first one, and
African American female wrestler. Yes,
and
she gets fast tracked to that bullshit.
Man, I honestly like. I was watching both of these, and I didn't see either. One.
That one I did see. I do remember them talking about her going to the, I don't remember the other ones, but I do remember seeing that one, and I thought, why in the fuck wouldn't you have her represented at the Hall of Fame as a really legit inductee?
Who else on there?
We got one more. Paul Bosch.
Paul Bosch, Houston Wrestling.
Paul Bosch.
Like, that's got to make a, I mean, I'm sure that Bruce was pumped about him going in and everything, but, dude, Paul Bosch, you could totally. I mean, there's not really nobody left to receive the award for him other than Bruce Pritchard himself, I guess. But he just bought all the shit from the office, from the Houston Wrestling office.
You don't have any family left?
Nah, his wife. Well,
that's probably why.
I think his wife was there. I think she's still alive, but I think that's who Bruce bought all his, like, all his promoter books and all that shit. But I don't know, dude. I didn't really know anything about Houston wrestling until I started listening to Something to Wrestle, and but it's an interesting story, especially the night that Vince had already bought them and let the show go on or whatever, and then everybody thought Bruce worked with Houston or whatever, and then he just left with Vince and started with the WWE. But yeah, you could now he's a great single induction. So when they run out of people to put in,
there already are. Fast track people like that in there, and then you don't have nobody to put in later. Even if you had to have wrestlers in between people going into the Hall of Fame trying to cut fake promos about how much they love the person going into the Hall of Fame right before that,
they still got Batista
because we can't
until next year,
because we can't get any people to actually come to the Hall of Fame. We're gonna have you guys cut these promos that we wrote for you about why you love the wrestler that's going into the Hall of Fame over here.
Batista's filled in that new movie for Netflix.
Low class.
They haven't said he's going in next year, though. They just said that he's filming.
It's predicted.
By him.
Well, you're so sure about that prediction over
but
there.
But I think Batista's actually going to go in.
I mean,
we'll he was see. Supposed to headline it this year.
I hope Vince doesn't answer the phone this year for him.
Well, I hope he doesn't answer the phone for Vince.
I kind of hope Undertaker goes in next year. That's one that definitely does deserve.
He ain't old enough. None of these guys are old enough.
He ain't old enough.
Bellas ain't technically old enough yet either. If you think about a Hall of Fame, I think about sports Hall of Fames where you got decrepit old men going in there from like the 1970s and 80s baseball, well, people who retired 2 years ago.
They don't live that long, though.
Not even fucking 2 years ago for a couple of them. Kane retired. Like, Kane even retired. He still comes back and forth every once in a while.
When they need him.
Right. So why is he in the fucking Hall of Fame and he ain't even done?
RVD was just an Impact wrestler too long ago.
Right. They put RVD in there because Batista didn't want to be in there, so they needed another pop.
I think Sean Waltman's still taking matches somewhere.
Yeah, he's the only one, I believe, is still in. And, you know, we talked about this the other day. He gets in there as a singles competitor. He's going to be the first three-time Hall of Famer. That'll shoot him right to the top of one of the greatest things in WWE history. No, and think about that. That'll be bragging rights for me over you. Right now I got the NWO 6 shirt on, by the way. It's not just an NWO shirt on, so.
Look at it. I'm a Roman Reigns shirt.
On the back, I got the six ball on the back.
My Roman Reigns shirt's dirty, so you got
it. Roman Reigns is dirty.
You know what? We'll get to that when we get to that, okay?
Actually, I was really proud of him this Sunday.
So NXT, did you watch NXT night two?
I sat and watched it with my dad.
Both of them?
Night one and two, yeah.
Yeah?
I did, and it was better than WrestleMania.
Oh, my God.
It was.
And you're an NXT fan too, ain't you?
You know what made it good?
That they copied WrestleMania 3?
Nah. Well, that in one match they did. But but the fact that I like the Capitol Wrestling Center. They had four or five rows of fans right there. Boom, boom, boom. One, two, three, four, five, right in the front row.
They've had more than they've had fans at their shows for a while.
Better than
now.
That Thunderdome bullshit. Yeah. They have their own. They don't pump crowd music in.
Bullshit. They don't pump.
They don't. They have enough people in there to have enough crowd noise. They're right there by the ring.
They were pumping crowd noise in when there was 25,000 people.
The Capitol Wrestling Center is a small building. Like, it's so old. Everybody they got in there's capacity around the ring, and then they have a light board with faces going around the top of it, of course. But they're so close to the ring that they just use them. The building's an enclosed building, almost like the performance center size.
The only reason they were pumping in fake crowd noises was because they had cutouts of people.
Like, well, they had cutouts of people at WrestleMania, too. Did you know that?
I didn't see them.
Bro, you had to look like really hard.
Whenever they had everyone cleared out of the stadium when it was raining, if you looked off in the back, all those stadium seats back there had all cardboard people sitting in them.
I heard that they were going to have them, but like every shot that I seen was just people with their face masks. Right,
the only people that were in there were everyone that was down on the floor.
Packed
up above was all everything we thought we seen sitting up above, all up high and all that. That's all cardboard people. Everybody was right down that one area down there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You should just start doing that. Like, have some fans.
Well, they probably will, but you got to let the states. States are going to have to open back up to let them do that. You going to make it?
I don't know. So your favorite part of NXT Night 1 was Ciampa
the Cruiserweight Championship for the ladder on the ladder match was really good too. But favorite match of the first night was definitely Ciampa and Walter. Not just because they made fun of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
I don't think they made fun of. They like
no, they didn't. They tried to emulate a little bit. And Walter's this big giant dude. And Ciampa's not an extremely small dude, but I guess he's considered a cruiserweight on the games anyway. He is. On the games, he's considered a cruiserweight.
Who is?
Ciampa.
No.
When we play the games, he's considered a cruiserweight.
That's on the older ones.
Is he even on the games anymore?
Yeah, well, there isn't any games anymore.
Well, there's coming out 2K22.
When it comes out, we'll see what weight class he's in.
I'm going to buy that.
But if you put him on 20 like we have, he's a cruiserweight.
He's a heavyweight.
No, yes, he is, Clint.
Alex.
They should put him in the alumni section.
How are you going to argue with me about a guy I've won like six belts with on your game?
I've owned all the games. Right. I know what they look like.
But I won the Cruiserweight title with
him
on your game.
Yeah, but
you
don't know how to play him, though.
Yeah, you Adam Cole using motherfucker.
And that's 19. We're talking about 20.
Arguing with that. I can't.
Right, because I got all the belts on 19.
They should move Ciampa to the alumni section since he ain't on wrestling anymore. NXT.
Dick, you can't win one match.
On what?
On any of the 2K games.
You can't beat me at any video game ever.
Because you fucking reset the set button.
He's a cheating motherfucker.
Every time I win, you reset the set.
That is not true.
Just a highlight from the Cruiserweight match. So Jordan Devlin went to the very top of the ladder in the middle of the ring and did a perfect moonsault. With the ladder didn't even barely budge, dude. Went to the very tip top of it and did a moonsault off top of it. Ladder didn't barely budge and completed the moonsault when he hit it on Escobar at the bottom. It's a really, really good match. I know you ain't the NXT guy, but you should probably sit down and watch that. At least that ladder match. It's really good.
Did it MGK fight?
Those are who?
MGK? The tag team that looks like
MSK? MGK. Yeah, MSK. That's Machine Gun Kelly, buddy. You go down the street with that bullshit.
Sorry, bud.
Is there a special guest? I didn't know.
MSK, they wrestled for the NXT Tag Team Championships.
I like that match.
Who'd they wrestle? No, you're going to bring up the match and not even know who the opponent is.
You're killing me here, kid.
Come on, you're the one with the fight.
That was so great you don't remember who it was.
Yeah, it was good.
As the Grizzled Young Veterans. But it was just a very good match. I don't know, they beat the shit out of each other. MSK is actually the Rascals. The third one didn't come with them, though. He stayed behind.
This motherfucker right here. Got Zach. Hey, Zach, I forgot you was here for a second.
Oh, what's up, guys? Yeah, I was enjoying the show like everyone else.
Zach just hands me his phone with every male cruiserweight in WWE 2K20. You want to know who's on that list?
False advertisement.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Didn't I just say that?
Well, false advertisement.
I won the cruiserweight title with him on 2K20. I'm for certain I did.
False advertisement.
Because I know how much Dick cussed me out when I did it.
I hate you, Zach.
I had to know. When two people are so certain of something, no matter what it is, it's like, now I need to know. I don't fucking care, but I need to know.
Zach's like, well, I don't know what the fuck a Tommaso Ciampa is, but I'm going to find his name on the list.
I looked it up, and the time it took me to look it up, I forgot who they were even talking about. That's why I handed my phone to you. I was like, Dick will know what to do with this.
You were wrong.
Shut up.
It was good, though.
Aren't those cruiserweight dudes? They're from Impact, right?
Escobar and Devlin were both Impact wrestlers. There's a fair amount of Impact. The MSK is from Impact as well.
Like Impact after they moved to Canada and Jekyll's in charge?
Mm-hmm.
there.
From yeah, that. Not TNA Originals. They're it was when Tommy Dreamer was like booking people. So it was like Impact when it was on like Pop TV, that era oh. where they were showing, you know what I mean? Like right before Global Force.
Before they went on Twitch.
Right.
Can't do that no more.
I mean,
got Vince McMahon owns that. You know, you got to give
Vince McMahon owns Twitch.
Well, no, he don't own Twitch. He just owns the wrestlers.
Yeah, he just told them that they can't have Twitch accounts because they want them to have WWE Twitch accounts.
Right.
No more up, up, down, down.
I don't know. Did they? I don't keep up on all that shit.
I think up, up, down, down still going.
It is, but he does it as Austin Creed now instead of
yeah. Austin Creed's up, up, down, down.
Instead of Apollo
Austin
Crews.
Creed is on.
What? He can't be Apollo Crews because Vince McMahon takes a chunk of the money if he's Apollo Crews. So instead, he's Austin Creed.
Not Apollo Crews. Xavier Woods.
It's Xavier Woods.
Oh, my bad.
And Kofi. And
whatever. Baby. I'm not a fan of either of them, so it doesn't matter. Not a fan of his page. Raquel Gonzalez won the NXT Women's Champion from Io Shirai. Io's had the belt for a really long time. She's a crazy one who jumps off the top of everything Io is. Remember she put the trash can on her head at,
and
she jumped off with the trash can inside the trash can, took out all the people. She's had the belt for 305 days.
The woman's belt?
Yeah. So she lost to Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez is kind of like,
she's like a China.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, she kind of reminds me of China a little bit, prettier, but just a big badass woman.
You watched the porn?
No.
Bullshit.
I'm not gonna say I haven't don't know what it is, but no, not me, buddy. I
guarantee
don't,
this motherfucker seen one night.
I don't think I'd be able to watch. I wouldn't be able to watch X-Pac again. I don't think if I seen that, so I couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. But it was the Grizzled Young Veterans who, and the and Legado del Fantasma in a three-way tag team title match.
Three-way.
I don't know who any of those fucking people are.
Well, that's those because you don't watch NXT.
That's because if they're relevant, they'll get to the main roster and I'll take note of them.
Tag teams aren't relevant on the main roster, so let's hope they don't go to the main roster.
Or they can go to AEW.
So that way they stay in NXT and remain relevant.
And get not paid. And
unless you are a unless you are two superstars put together on the main roster, you don't matter as a fucking tag team.
That's true. I'm not.
So let's hope they stay on NXT where they matter.
Yeah, or they break up and go make money.
No, none of these guys would make it as singles competitors. I don't believe none of them.
They still got to make more money as a tag team and fucking doing nothing.
And the good thing about NXT is they have tag team tournaments all the time.
That's cool.
All the time. So it puts tag teams over. WWE, not so much.
WWE's never been known
they
for
they shit on
teams.
Their tag teams. Bad. Especially now. I'm not even going to get into that because we'll be here for fucking 2 hours. Me, are fucking just got to quit talking about it. And this, yes, and then Walter and Ciampa.
Indie mud show fucking bullshit is half of that show.
And then Walter and Ciampa, of course, happened. It was like I said, it was the best match out of both nights. What are you shaking your head about?
You and my dad with that shit.
How was it not a good match, bud?
It's just...
What? Because you're just not a fan of either of those guys?
Yeah, I'm not a fan
That's
of
why
either
you
of You're so not a fan of Walter or Ciampa.
I'm not a fan of Hulk Hogan, and I can tell you I've been impressed by a few Hulk Hogan matches.
I mean...
You can't even just give up the fact that it was a fucking wrestling clinic. They emulated Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant from WrestleMania.
One chop. That was it. Bam.
He did more than one choppy powerbomb him like seven times.
Tried to body slam him a couple times.
Dude, he tried to pick him up over his head.
Oh.
Ciampa is too old for that shit.
Ciampa neck be hurting.
Yeah. You need to go watch it. No, Ciampa neck be strong.
Didn't he just break his neck?
He lifted Walter
like
off the mat.
Second or third time, right?
He lifted Walter off the mat with the neck. They even talked about it on the match. You got to go back and watch. You got to watch it, man. You haven't watched it. You just got to go watch it for yourself and see. It's a really good match.
This is how it always happens. I fucking
by the end of it,
NXT.
Listen,
every episode, unless Pat McAfee's on it, I fucking don't give a shit about any of it.
These guys chop.
And then Clint's like, "Oh, dude, this is a fucking wrestling clinic." I'm like, "Yeah, but do they fucking make any money or are they relevant at all? Like the actual part that makes you a pro wrestler?"
These guys. And now you talk about
superstar.
You remember when we were younger and we'd go to the pool and we just chop the fuck out of each other. These two guys are going to do a chopping clinic to the point where motherfuckers' chests are bleeding by the end of the match. That's how much they chopped each other up. I mean, they gave it to each other, bud. Good match. Really good match. But it's the best one of the whole week, as far as I'm concerned.
So?
Whole year so far with me.
Whole year.
Then Bronson Reed won the six-man gauntlet. to wrestle Johnny Gargano on night two of NXT TakeOver.
See, that's the only thing of anything NXT that I watched all week that I had any respect for was Bronson Reed versus Johnny Gargano.
And you don't like Johnny Gargano.
No, and I hate him.
You hate Johnny
Gargano. I hate him just about as much as I hate fucking Tommaso Ciampa.
I've heard
rejects that couldn't make it and had to go put over the young guys.
Oh my gosh.
That's the only value they have in an industry. They probably all live in fucking double wides.
Probably.
I know you hate Gargano and Ciampa.
And on top of that, all these fucking failures of wrestlers were all like 130 pounds anyway, Clint. You would look believable in a match against them.
Gargano's a good wrestler, though.
Yeah, I mean, I would be too if I was tiny and fucking couldn't make money.
I didn't quite like him when he was in DIY or whatever the fuck his group was. I think he's going to be the next Undisputed Era member.
But
Undisputed Era is over with, dog.
Well, they can bring him back.
With Johnny Gargano?
Yeah.
Undisputed Era broke up. It's done. Over with.
Where have I been?
You can stop a... you didn't know that fucking...
No, I did not know that.
They've been broke up for a minute, bro. Why do you think Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly fought on night two? Where was you at?
Yeah, that was the main event.
What field you sitting in?
I didn't get to the main event. I got to the Finn Balor and Karrion.
That was like 3 months ago, right?
When they broke,
fucking
when they first
I know
broke
about
up.
That. You fucking every creative wrestler on a video game you have has the Undisputed Era's trunks, entrance music, video,
shocked the system.
Everything. And you
just shocked your system.
Yeah. And you didn't even know they broke up. Bobby Fish been out for like 6 months.
Yeah, he tore the tricep. He's done for a while, bud.
I'm gonna go home and cry.
Bobby Fish is listening to.
There ain't going to be no Undisputed music on the next video game that comes out because there is no Undisputed Era no more.
It's done.
That's going to be sad.
Everyone changed their music and everything. Pete Dunne beat Kushida in a really, really good, another good, just really
I
good
like
wrestling.
Pete Dunne.
Would you really like this match then? Just him and Kushida getting down and he does the finger breaking shit and all that. Where he twists their leg up and all that and stomps on the back of it.
I cringe every time I see that.
There's like probably four or five wrestlers that have kind of stolen that from him and started doing it.
Yeah,
but he's been doing it for at least a solid good five, six, maybe seven years.
He was on NXT UK forever.
Yeah.
He was the like first winner of the tournament or some shit.
Mm-hmm. I think he was, I'm not sure, but I think he was their cruiserweight or their UK champ for a while.
I don't think he's ever going to do anything on the main roster, but I do enjoy watching him.
Probably not. I don't
he's
think
he's shown up
them.
A couple times on the main roster.
Yeah, when
repping NXT, though, yeah. I don't
when
think
the Saudis held everybody hostage and he had to.
Those were some of the best matches you watched that year, though. You got to admit that shit. That Survivor Series in particular, that was a good
was
Survivor
shit,
Series.
Yeah. It's probably the last good Survivor Series I've seen.
It's true.
And that was night one. So that was all, you know, that was all night one. Night two, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, like we said,
that was the main event.
That, well,
it was an unsanctioned match.
Yeah, unsanctioned.
I fucking hate unsanctioned
because
matches.
Someone got hurt, you know, so we're going to let you wrestle in our ring.
Don't nobody think the Athletic Commission's going to bust you for having an unsanctioned match.
Just brings so much more character to the story, though, don't you think?
I think all unsanctioned match have to happen at the Raw Underground from now on so that nobody knows it's happening.
Well, that ain't no more, so.
Oh.
No, it was good, though. They ended up using the...
We're supposed to forget about
it. We're supposed to forget about it like it never even happened.
Yeah, I mean, they do want you to forget about it. They do that often. See, they insult the intelligence of their people watching. And that's something that really fucking pisses me off about the WWE.
They have their fucking Raw Underground. We'll talk about that when it comes
motherfuckers.
Up.
Motherfuckers. I just like to fucking walk through and punch each of them one at a time.
Oh,
line
man.
Them up and just let me hit each one in a row as I walk down the fucking hallway for insulting everybody that watches their TV show. Honestly. It worked when I was like six. A little bit, probably, because I didn't understand.
You couldn't put two and two together?
That's fucking garbage.
What else happened on night two?
Let's see here. You had help at all?
Yeah. I'm going to say Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor for the NXT Championship.
You like that match?
I did. It was a good
Karrion
match.
Kross won, right?
I'm not a fan of Karrion Kross. So.
No, he was cool when he was
Who
Killer
was he?
Kross.
He was somebody else.
Killer Kross is his name in the Independence.
But that's a bad word.
Well, I mean, with everything that was going on when he first came to WWE, though, there was one of those mass shootings that happened.
Right.
So you're not going to have someone come in called Killer, because at first they were going to let.
So what
him
do they
keep,
call him? Killian?
Carrion.
Carrion.
Carrion. Like he's carrying the cross to the ring.
Gotcha. Comes out with Scarlet.
Hilarious.
What's her last name? Scarlet. Don't even.
Just Scarlet,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, Scarlet.
Bordeaux,
yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Why do I have that name in my head?
It's his main dime. It's his main dime slice.
Oh.
She carries an hourglass and flips it upside down and tells people their time's running out.
Yeah, well.
Her fingernails are too long. And she's in every scene. She's like Puff Daddy dancing in the back of a video. Anytime there's like a standoff and he's looking real tough, she always has to get her head in there.
What I want to know is, why is Finn Balor's demon not coming out?
He wrote an article that said if the demon came out, that would be a step back.
Yeah, he's gone from that. He's just Prince Balor now.
That match would have been the perfect match to have.
I think it's cool that they call him Prince Balor. And
yeah.
Perfect match what?
It would be the perfect match for the demon. You know?
I mean, they could still go there, but.
Because he's undefeated.
You must be a CM Punk fan.
I don't want them to.
Going back to the well for one more.
And, right. And that's what it would feel like, too.
You got to evolve, man.
To beat Karrion Kross, I had to be the demon. Wah. I might as well go back to the main roster and never win. Wah.
I really think we're working towards a Bullet Club taking over every single wrestling company right now.
Well, yeah, you got.
Finn, they kind of have taken over AEW a little bit.
You got Adam Cole.
Dude. I'm telling you, the WWE is going to do business here real soon.
We'll see.
Even if it's just NXT, I'll watch NXT then.
We'll see. I don't think so, but we'll see. WWE don't like them outside groups coming in using their own banner. They got to make their own money.
NWA had their champ on there, Jeff Jarrett, and the Midnight Express.
Nah, dude.
On that one really random.
They have the Girls of Destiny come in and wrestle the Usos. Yeah. And That'd work. In one of them interchangeable matches. Then your match, Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed.
Dude, it was good. Dude, Bronson Reed, I've never seen him before or whatever. But
good wrestler, bud.
Yeah, and he's a big dude to move like that.
Yeah,
like,
does a lot of really neat off-the-top rope stuff a lot of the time. To fly around the way he does, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, he's only throwing around 130 pounds with Johnny Gargano. So,
but in order for himself to be able to move that quick, it's very impressive. Cannonball style. One of his favorite wrestlers is Bam Bam Bigelow. So his first takeover that his outfit was a Bam Bam Bigelow inspired outfit.
What's this motherfucker know about Bam Bam Bigelow?
Nothing. Other than what east, that's it right there. That's all he knows.
Yeah, that's about.
He knows what the
tattoos
video,
on his head.
He knows what we've said while we were playing the video games and using them.
I'm pretty sure he was dead before you were like 7.
I've watched videos with him in it.
Hmm. What's your favorite Bam Bam Bigelow match?
Fuck, I don't know.
He never seen one.
It's probably WCW hardcore shit.
And possibly would not know. Can't watch that shit no more with Peacock.
It's sad, ain't it?
I don't fucking network. I did the math on that the other day. It really pissed me off.
He did math. He does math on everything.
What the fuck else happened?
That's it, buddy.
That's it.
I mean, they had the women's tag team championship match of Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon against Candice LeRae.
Is Shotzi the stupid one that comes out in the
Shotzi's
fucking...
with the red, green hair.
She comes out in the tank. And the other one has the wolf.
I hate her, too.
I'm not a fan either.
I used to be a huge Ember Moon fan.
Oh, I hate Ember Moon, too. She came... I don't know. I thought... How do you come back from an Achilles tendon tear?
She's doing it, and she's changed her wrestling style just a little bit.
She got a little bit chubby.
That's nice, buddy.
Just saying.
Not any chubbier than you.
Happens to the best of us.
Well, COVID hit, and she tore her Achilles. Imagine not being able to move around with an Achilles tear, bud.
$839.16 I've given Vince McMahon for the goddamn network for 7 years.
Fuck, buddy.
Every motherfucking month from day one that they launched until the death of fucking the network and the Peacock bullshit thing where I can't even watch jack shit, but I still pay money for that bullshit too. I've watched people get free months, 3 months for signing up, blah, blah,
me
blah.
Too.
I want a motherfucking t-shirt, Vince. Like,
Or something.
Oh, man.
Fucking pat on the back. Hey, how about a personal thank you in my fucking email?
Send me a fucking email with a digital signature on it. Like, thanks for being a fucking customer, pal.
Yeah, fucking. I see these people get like, oh, $2.99 for the next 3 months. And I'm like, hey, I've been paying $9.99 since day one, bitch. When am I going to get a motherfucking deal here?
My dad got a free. You pay $839.16 on that bullshit, too.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
We could have went
to bullshit, but it is bullshit.
We could have not had the network and then went to WrestleMania on what we spent the network on. Yeah.
I'd rather watch it at home. I'd rather watch it at home.
It's bullshit.
Because I'd be fighting people there, I guarantee it. People would be standing in my way. I'd have to pay for a shitty ticket anyway, because you know, me and you ain't got enough money to sit in the front, dog. We just don't.
No.
We just don't.
No, I would love to be able to travel there and just hang out outside of all the shit that's going on at WrestleMania time, and I'd be totally satisfied. I won't even have to buy a ticket to WrestleMania.
Here's a free ticket to WrestleMania.
Well, they got some, I mean, not this year, not the year before or whatever, but like everybody who's anybody in wrestling is in the same town that weekend doing shows, having meet and greets and all that shit. I would love to walk around some Legends tables and...
Then just get drunk and watch it at a hotel or a bar or something around there.
That'd be sweet.
If you got to do the whole fan access week, that would just be...
I would like to go to the access part. You know, I'd probably...
That's a lot of money, man. That's like a fucking year's worth of salary just to have an actual good time.
I bet I could see it all in one day, though.
Oh, yeah, probably. You could probably... Well, I bet in a span of 2 days you could cover most of it, but it's just being on there on certain days when they're doing certain activities. They do certain shows on certain days and... Like certain wrestlers will be there certain days, or there's other wrestling going on in the same cities around that. Like, you know, a couple of years ago they had the AEW show as well as WrestleMania Fan Access, and then NJPW had a show at Madison Square Garden, which was like the first one
Conrad had
ever since WWE had went there.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. That's how.
And there's a big, huge deal about that shit because it was like, oh, they're flirting with somebody other than WWE, and they did they basically did it to piss off Vince, I believe, but. So,
night one, or did you watch SmackDown leading up to WrestleMania?
I did not. I read it online.
I didn't either. I read it online too. Did you even read the? Did you, Clint? You watch the ups and downs all the time. Did you?
I didn't even watch ups and downs. Going, I didn't have time between work and everything
else.
I
seen Jey Uso got the Andre the Giant thing.
Oh, I forgot they moved that.
moved it to SmackDown.
Yeah, the SmackDown.
Was there Raw guys in it too?
Or there was Raw and SmackDown guys.
Okay. Right. So if there's only SmackDown guys in it, then that's a little bullshit, isn't it? One sided. No,
the head of the little kid table got that trophy.
Well, standing there like Andre the Giant.
But so the first night of WrestleMania is pretty snake bit right from the beginning, huh?
Yeah. Well, that storm rolled in there.
So before that, Vince came out, and before when he was walking up to the stage, and I seen everybody standing out there, whatever. I was like, man, here comes the pandemic speech. I knew it. Vince loves the big speech coming out of, you know, 9/11. WWE was the first gathering of people after 9/11 happened and everything. And like, Vince kind of like started the healing process and everything.
Yeah, he made an Independence Day type of speech on that.
Right. And I feel like that's what he was going for. And it landed, dude. Vince is good at that. He looks like he's got a plastic face nowadays. But
and then we went right back to the old, Thunderdome the next night, and there's no fans again. Right back to the old shit box.
The virtual fans.
Oh, Raw was that the Thunderdome?
Back at the old Thunderdome, watching it on screens with the old crowd noise getting pumped in, telling me who I need to like and who I need to hate.
But so right after Vince's speech got up, we cut to Michael Cole and. We have the unfortunate news to tell you that WrestleMania is going into a rain delay. There's a storm here at Raymond James Stadium, and they evacuated all of the audience.
Well, let's not forget that they sent us in this shit horrible video package of what I was talking about earlier, how when they send you that video package, you get you hyped up for WrestleMania.
That was last
before
year's.
It started.
Yeah, they just
but
added
they ran.
To it.
This is what I'm getting into. You remember how, like I said, they would give you this sweet package getting you real hyped up for all the matches that were going to happen that night. Like, oh, these matches are going to be so fucking epic. What'd they do this year? Tried to set you up and then turned it into a fucking comedy act.
That's true. It was.
Yeah.
Fucking trash is what it was.
I mean,
you know any comedic pirates?
I seen two on night two.
Other than the WWE's joke of comedic pirates? No.
Paul Burchill.
Right. Another WWE product.
Yeah.
The video from the jump got me unhyped for WrestleMania. It did. It made me wonder what the fuck I was watching.
Did that play before or
do
after
I
want to
laugh
speech?
Or do I want to take it
that
serious?
After, I think.
It was right after his speech, I thought.
Was mm-hmm. it?
She sang America the Beautiful. And then.
Oh, no, yeah. What was her name, Zach? Baby.
BB Rexha.
BB Rexha.
Which was very good.
It was very good.
It was wonderful. Good. The first night's America the Beautiful was good. I was into it.
Yeah, I liked it. I have no idea who that chick is, but
she was pretty.
She was pretty.
I think we need to talk about the promos,
dude. The promos.
No, we found out who was men and who was boys.
The promos were good.
No, they were not.
I was sitting there slack jawed, like
I was laughing my ass off.
Put two and two together, like. Okay, they've got like 40 minutes to fucking make up for time. So they just let these guys, like WWE is a very highly polished, highly produced,
the men from
very
the boys.
Fucking slick production. Nobody says anything on air that isn't approved by Vince himself. And hey, we got 40 minutes to fill. You got to go out there and say something. Yeah. And
it's raining, pal. We need you to take this live mic and go out there and say anything you can.
Yeah.
Keep the crowd involved. What do you mean? I haven't done that ever in my fucking career. Dude, it's always been something you've written down and given me. What the fuck do I do? I'll go out there and then stumble over my words and not even keep the mic to my fucking
mouth.
Dude,
I like Drew McIntyre's fucking passionate.
He was going to cry because he didn't know what to say. And he thought he was going to get sent home until night two.
I don't know why you're hating on these promos, bud.
They were shit horrible.
They were not shit horrible.
They were the worst fucking promos I've ever heard in my life. When you can't even cut a promo without having to stop and think about what to say and then continue and go, when did The Rock ever stop and think about it? When did Stone Cold ever stop and think about it? When did Triple H or Jericho or fucking Hulk Hogan or Macho Man or Ultimate fucking Warrior ever stop to think about it in the middle of a fucking promo? Ever?
I think Clint probably ought to stop.
Sid Vicious was the only motherfucker who fucked up. You know what they told him? Oh, sorry, we're live right now, pal.
We're live, pal.
Let's take it from the top. No, we're live, pal.
Booker T messed up once.
Kevin Owens cut a decent promo.
Kevin Owens did cut a decent promo.
No, Kevin Owens was the worst.
Braun?
Fucking no. Xavier Woods had the best one.
Braun. Who?
Braun. Fuck Braun. Braun. Let me flip over a fucking forklift. And
Bianca Belair cut a very good promo.
Bianca Belair had a very good one, too.
That's a promo cutting motherfucker right there. That's someone who is going to stand out from the rest.
She's somebody I like from NXT. About the only one.
That shit was bad. Made me want to turn it off.
And then they got the
announcer up there, and she's taking shit personal. Like it's actually affecting her in some way, these questions she's asking.
Yeah.
And then she's pulling the mic back like, are you fucking serious? Shut the fuck up and hold the mic to their mouth so they can cut a promo for one, because they're already doing a bad enough job as it is anyway. They don't need you pulling the mic back and fucking it up even worse for them. It's bad.
I love when they would cut to the announcers and they're sitting in there in ponchos and hyping about how big.
Yeah.
This, you know, the WWE Universe returns, like you're sitting in front of an empty arena because you sent everybody to the tunnels because it's storming outside.
It reminded me like when the news is trying to make it look like a storm is way worse than it really is. Yeah. So they send somebody out to ankle deep water and like make it look like someone's rowing a boat behind them.
So everything did get drenched though, right? Like they had over there, everybody was
stage
the state, the flags ripped off the pirate ship. They fucking had to be out there drying everything up
the
whole time.
The fucking audio. Flags got ripped
and right after. So they're like, hey, we're actually going to start WrestleMania, blah, blah. The storm has passed. And then they started having fucking mic problems and shit.
It happened during Kevin Owens' promo.
You had to know Vince was just back there like, I don't even give a fuck what happens now.
He doesn't give a fuck what happens anyway. You seen their product lately? Yeah, it's bad.
That's true.
This is the worst good WrestleMania they had in a long time.
Opening match. Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. I know Alex has got the hot take on Drew McIntyre. What did it mean to you?
Drew couldn't even walk the ring right.
I don't even want to talk about it. I was so pissed.
So you're a big Drew McIntyre fan.
I am. You know, they gave Drew McIntyre a whole year.
Yeah.
Shut up, Clint. Just let me talk.
Gave him a whole year.
Yeah, they gave him a whole year to prepare himself for this. And then Bobby Lashley has to come in here, take the WWE Championship, and completely fuck up the match.
How'd he fuck it up?
Because he's a shit-tailed wrestler.
Dude, the Hurt Locker.
That's not true.
What's it? The Hurt Locker?
Hurt Locket.
The Hurt Locket?
I knew as soon as he had your dad was looking at me, we were watching it and put the Hurt Locker on at the end. And
I knew
like,
it was
it's over,
over,
buddy. It doesn't yeah. get a. Nobody gets out of it.
The way they ended that match.
What's
really
so bad about Bobby Lashley? He's been going longer than Drew McIntyre has. He's been grinding. He's been putting his work in for a long fucking time.
Deserves it more than Drew McIntyre does.
I can't. I mean, I think the only way reason they're doing that is because they want to set up for Brock Lesnar.
Drew McIntyre was the reason Bobby Lashley didn't look impressive in that match.
Drew McIntyre did look impressive.
No, that match was fucking boring as shit.
Drew McIntyre couldn't even get to the ring. He couldn't even stab the sword into the fucking ground and make it go all the way in like he normally does to get to the ring. That's how fucking frustrated
Drew
he was.
McIntyre's time has gone.
I think
Come
Drew.
Gone.
I think Drew McIntyre was so frustrated by the rain and all the weather and all the emotional shit, horrible promo that he cut fucking, that he forgot how to wrestle.
It was boring, and I mean, I'm a big you know, timing is everything in life, and like he had it, he had me for a minute. And he was fucking won the Royal Rumble last year, and. He was the little boy that fucking made it to WrestleMania and the childhood dream came true, but then the childhood dream was canceled.
Steam ran out. He's three-man banding it this year.
He did have his WrestleMania moment.
Kind of. At the shittiest WrestleMania.
In front of fans. That's all he ever wanted.
No,
and then they
face
put him
first.
On the opening fucking match. And
yeah, especially the opening match.
I feel like, you know, at WrestleMania, it's like Jericho said, you either want to be the opening or the ending.
He should want to be the main event and be going after the fucking.
He got the main event last year.
Yeah, that's where the woman came in.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
And to be honest with you, the main event you got this year was. Both main events you got this but were twice as good as the main event that you would have had.
No, I'm not. I like Drew McIntyre. They had me, like he came back from the independence totally jacked. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be something. He finally fucking gets the Royal Rumble and everything. And that's when you have to strike while the fire is hot and get everybody involved. And they did, but it was canceled. There was no fans in the fucking audience. And that timing is everything, man.
His steam ran out about... SummerSlam anyway.
Right. If you want to call it steam, there's no audience to...
Right.
Like, they, I don't know.
Nothing. But, he's not over at the fans. He is. It's just you didn't get to see him enjoy that actual title reign because there was no fans. You had the fake crowd noise tell you to cheer and boo.
I like Bobby Lashley, too. And they don't let Bobby Lashley speak. Like, I know his shtick before when he's in WWE is that he couldn't talk or whatever, but he did a lot of heel work and impact.
That's why I think they should bring Leo Rush back and give him Leo Rush back.
No,
he was a way better heel manager than what MVP is.
Did you guys see that he just won his trademark? He can be Leo Rush in anything.
Yeah,
outside of then.
I hope he comes back to WWE.
No, wouldn't it him and Enzo drop that rap song?
Uh-huh. Shit, horrible fucking bullshit. Dude, you tagged me in the other night.
I
tagged you in
Enzo.
That.
Whoever, it was bullshit.
You're just
don't
jealous.
Tag me in dumb shit like that. I don't want to be involved in anything like that ever again.
They kind of laugh at it.
I love Enzo.
I can't laugh at shit like that. It shouldn't even be on tape.
I wish Enzo would come back.
He won't. Because of shit like that is why he won't.
So we move on from... rain delay to really boring match to the tag team turmoil women's championship.
Jesus, what a waste of fucking time.
Another waste of time.
Yeah. It was a bad match, man. Yeah,
well, there were some more wardrobe malfunctions.
Yeah,
more worth the time.
Water on the ground made a couple of people fall down. So I had a couple laughs. Other than that, it was fucking stupid.
Do what?
Mandy Rose's great fall.
Yeah, down there. Titus O'Neil fucking liked it on Instagram.
It's bad.
Or
it's all bad.
Dude, Randy Orton mocked her.
It's bad.
Night two.
Did he? It's bad.
I like the match, man.
It's bad.
I like Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose as a tag team, too.
Right, but they've wrestled the tag
Dana
team
Brooke
champions too. Like 20 times in this year and lost to them every single fucking time, including on this last Monday.
I would have
seen them wrestle together.
I would have liked to see the Riot Squad win.
Instead, you had Natalya and Tamina win a match. And when is Tamina ever going to be at fucking WrestleMania again? When is she ever going to be in a match like that at a WrestleMania ever
Never.
Again?
Well, it's her WrestleMania moment, man. Why you got to be hating on her for it?
We'll get to night two, and then I'm not hating on her for it. I'm hating on WWE for what they did.
Oh. Yeah.
We'll get to that one because the winners of the match were Natalya and Tamina. And that meant they got to go on to night two to actually wrestle Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for the women's tag team titles.
Right.
Which, that tag team turmoil was the best match.
No, it
was
not.
You have to admit.
You think the tag team turmoil
no,
was
that's
the best
not,
match?
That's not.
That's what you just said.
Oh. Shut up.
That was the best match.
It was a good match of the night.
No.
You got to see Tamina Snuka hit the...
She fell on her face.
Yeah, she fell on her face.
Looked like she was going to break her teeth.
So what?
So what?
She overshot her dad's... her dad.
But it's cool
Splash.
She paid tribute to him, though.
They didn't even say his name.
No, they just said...
You know why?
Yeah, I know why.
Because he's a fucking murderer.
I know.
And he's just too old to fucking have to cop to the shit. And Vince McMahon paid duffel bags and briefcases full of money to make the shit go away back in the day. He's a
heard.
He was a fucking cocaine monster and got out of control and would swing his women around by their hair and beat them off the walls. And it's not a joke.
And the police, too.
Right. He fought like six fucking cops while he was swinging his old lady around by her fucking head.
That was her dad, though. That has nothing to do with her.
Her dad?
Yeah. Tamina.
Oh, I thought
that has
you
nothing
to do
with
fucking... I was like, that was his old lady. yeah, that's her last name.
You can't be judged.
Why do you think they don't call her Tamina Snuka anymore?
They drop in everybody's last name.
Yeah, they
or first names.
Get the fuck out of here.
Where's
Charlotte
Biggie
Flair?
Langston?
Yeah, where's Biggie? Yeah.
Charlotte Flair. If that's they have an Flair. Actual prominent last name, they get to keep a Natalia Neidhart.
Becky Lynch. She don't have a
That's technically
name.
For one first name. She's Irish or whatever. They have two first names.
Where's Matt Riddle's name?
He's just Riddle, but
yeah,
he don't even
exactly.
get Matt.
Speaking of people that used to have two names.
Because the name Matt's dumb.
Cesaro versus Seth Rollins.
Dude, that. Oh
That's my
God.
Favorite match of the both night. Of all week.
It was okay.
It was okay.
Rollins didn't even get all of his pyro.
Well,
his fire sticks didn't come on.
And I don't know what. When
changed
did
his music?
Seth Rollins coming out acting like The Rock or something? Like,
I think that there's a couple of them that think their star shines a little brighter than it really does.
And then
he's no good at cutting promos anymore either.
He had that
he had that fucking fur jacket.
Yeah. That like a bunch of people have been spotted in.
And what's
whatever.
With the Lex Luthor glove on one hand? He burned his hand in some horrible accident we don't know about? Trying to burn it down someplace?
I think his inspiration more Michael Jackson than Lex Luthor.
I believe that. I would believe
he's
that.
He's the Friday Night Saviors.
No, he's not.
I think he dropped that gimmick, right?
Oh, he
Friday Night
yeah, he did.
Anymore. He's coming out like trying to.
He's trying to be
the promos like The Rock.
No, he's like he's calling himself like locker room leader now or some shit like that. It's still
he's
the
God.
Same thing, but it's different. Yeah.
But and I'm glad that I mean, do you see all the emotion in Cesaro's face though? Like, you take
just
Cesaro
got
for
his
granted,
first WrestleMania win, bud.
Yeah, and it's just a match for Seth Rollins, not for a belt. Like his boyhood dream came true, and wasn't for
he's
no
a
belt
gimmick.
Or nothing. Cesaro's
a
gimmick.
He's a swing gimmick, bud.
Dude, no.
He swung him 24 times. That's one more time than he did on SmackDown. He's a gimmick. He's a gimmick, and he always
swing.
Will be.
He's not a gimmick, dude.
The circled square, whatever you call that thing, you know that we all wrestle in. Can't cut a promo, you ain't going to get a belt.
Unless your name is Brock Lesnar.
You
we
have to.
To
Paul Heyman cuts promos for him. If Cesaro get a good manager, you don't worry about it.
Wasn't
now,
Cesaro
would he?
Part of, wasn't he a Paul Heyman guy for
well,
a
that's before
he
Brock
was
Lesnar
the bar.
Came back and legitimized
he was part
wrestling.
Of the bar.
Yeah, before that, he was a Paul Heyman guy.
That was trash.
With
that's when he was Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah, with Ryback.
That's when he had two names.
And
before
know.
They took one of his names away. He has worse music in the world. It's like Scott Hall's or Scott Steiner's music, but like the British version.
Yeah,
looks
what's
like
wrong
the
with
Matrix.
That?
Because British cop sirens
Cesaro
are the worst.
Cesaro has been an asset to every tag team. Like, you give him anything and he runs for it.
But
he's
UK cop
forever.
Sirens are the worst.
Cesaro section.
And we live in the United States.
He does. I mean, he
sirens here don't sound like that.
So well, he's from fucking...
Or switch them to ambulance sirens.
He's Swiss, right?
I don't give
well,
a fuck.
Apparently
like
Swiss
I said,
fucking,
UK.
Why are you trying to whitewash shit?
Because I think he thinks he's the UK version of Scott Steiner.
He's not from the UK, motherfucker. He's from Switzerland.
And it's in the UK.
No, it's not at right? all. No. It is not in the United Kingdom, and it is, however, in Europe.
Well he's European. But either fucking way, it's annoying.
You should do a geography
and
trivia.
He can't cut a fucking promo.
I think we'd probably lose at that one.
I would.
You
no bones about it. You want to go? I'll lose.
You were in world history with Mr. Sherlock, too. Then.
Yeah, exactly why I would lose. No one did their homework in that class.
I did.
No, you didn't. No, you're the only fucking one, if that's the case.
So, New Day versus AJ and
Trash.
Almost.
Good
you
match.
You didn't like it?
No.
Dude.
I knew the outcome at the beginning.
Right. How could you not? Look at Omos.
He's 7 foot two, dude.
Dude, he actually called someone a bitch.
He can do that.
He did.
You're allowed to do that. Did you hear what Nia Jax was saying? She was saying all kinds of cuss words.
Dude, Nia Jax, man, she's
she was saying, I'm that bitch.
the
it was a good match. Whole,
the view of Omos.
stupid.
The view of Omos when New Day and everything, like, they're throwing everything they could at him and they couldn't do jack shit, and then they're both laying down with their heads on the rope looking at him, and he just looked undefeatable. Like, I was like, man, just that moment of the match is probably what I'll remember from it forever.
I mean, I have to admit, AJ Styles does deserve it. He's held every championship in TNA, and
he's a two-time Grand Slam champion now.
It means he ain't fucking around for life.
I hope that, I mean, I think him and Finn Balor are going to be making a tour of all the companies here shortly.
That'd be interesting.
I hope Omos comes with him.
I don't know, dude. He's an impressive individual. I thought it was cool when he grabbed Kofi's arm and just whipped it sideways and made him flip up. Yeah. And he was just laying there on the mat with his eyes wide open, not moving.
I'm like, oh, man.
But, and then it was cool when AJ jumped off the rope and jumped off his shoulders and then did his move to Xavier Woods. I thought that was pretty cool. But I don't know. I got to see that dude take a bump. When you're a big guy like that, you're not supposed to take a bump.
But
eventually he's going to have to run into Braun Strowman if he's going to be that big. Nah, the AEW got Shaq, homie.
Shaq's an AEW.
And then he disappeared out of the ambulance, remember? Disappeared like magic. Shaq food out of the ambulance. Until we see almost running into somebody his size and actually get put in a match, because you could tell the man's not extremely trained. His wrestling attire is very basic. Thought they were going to come with something better than that. Like, you know, Kevin Nash had the more of a diesel type of outfit, right. I guess. I don't know. I just thought they were going to switch. The way they set it up, I was like, he's going to have some kind of – said he came out with his raw underground door-watching attire. Matter of fact, by the way, let's not forget that he was the doorman for fucking Raw Underground.
You don't know who Dabo Kato is.
No, nobody does.
What is
Raw Underground, by the way? Is that even a thing? I don't think that was a thing. That's like an alternate universe, right?
I'm pretty sure they
did. You see that Josh Barnett beat John Moxley, though?
In his own Bloodsport?
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Because John Moxley was undefeated in Bloodsport or whatever?
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Until Josh Barnett got
a hold of him.
That's why it's his own Bloodsport. That means John Moxley probably ain't going back there to wrestle no more than Bud. Or whatever that shit is. Fake UFC fighting, I don't know.
So to me, the next match was the most throwaway match of the whole entire evening. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in the steel cage.
That was all right.
He's dumb. Sorry, Braun Strowman's dumb. He throws motherfucking...
That was the point of the Shane McMahon's whole thing, is Braun Strowman was dumb.
Oh, I'm being a bully now. Yeah. He did throw him off the top of the fucking cage and then climb down the fucking inside,
mm-hmm.
though. So Impended. Shane McMahon kind of had a point.
I mean, Shane goes off the top of shit.
I mean, he does, but Braun Strowman should have climbed down the other fucking side.
Mm-hmm.
And then won the match.
And then won the match. It had been over.
But it was neat when Braun ripped the side of the cage off and then pulled him back inside. That was kind of cool.
And then fucking hoisted him up to the top.
I fucking hate Braun Strowman.
Other than that, it was, I don't know. It was
all right.
It was
Braun.
I give it a C.
I give it a
D. Yeah, for sure.
Typical Shane McMahon has to go off of something and break shit.
I give it a deep plus.
Seems to be like a WrestleMania must for some reason. We got Undertaker's done, so now we're just going to have Vince McMahon's son get broken every year.
How old is he now? Like 53, something like that?
He's got to be close to 53, yeah. About a hard time for him to stop falling off the top of shit. I know that.
Even though he kind of like fake falls off shit.
Anymore, the safety falls, but still.
He ain't
like,
taking the Mankind bump.
That's going to take a toll, though, still falling on all that shit, even if it ain't a hard-ass fall. Like, you know, I don't know. I just...
Bad Bunny was kind of impressive there, right?
I mean, I
don't know who the fuck a Bad Bunny is. I know he won a Grammy.
I can't tell you anything he says in his music.
Coming in a fucking semi.
Do you know who Bad Bunny is, Zach?
No.
He won two Latin Grammys or whatever, and like apparently he's...
You've seen his
G.I. Bro shit.
Yeah,
when I came out and we had to Google the fucking
Booker T song. Yeah, you Googled the new awards for us. He was at Super Bowl a couple years ago when Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
I'm aware of who he is, but I couldn't tell you anything about him.
I know
the name and hear him about him every once in a while. But
he's the number one merchandise seller in WWE right now.
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that insane?
For a dude who came out a couple weeks ago with a sweatpants and sandals on with socks.
Dude, I read that. So, the Raw, he actually threw a punch at Miz. He did not hold back.
Threw a potato?
No, it was a full-on fucking punch.
That motherfucker's like 90 pounds.
It was a good working punch, Dick. I told you to go back and check it out. I said, you gotta see this. You gotta tell it, I said, I texted him. I said, you gotta see this motherfucker's working punch, dude. And he's like, no, fuck that bullshit. I'm like, I'm serious, dude. He's been working on it. The Miz was on Busted Open Radio, and he said that every day since that dude did his thing with WWE that he was at the Performance Center training to be able to do this match at WrestleMania. So he wasn't taking it as a joke like a lot of them guys come in and just, you know, probably show up 2 or 3 days before WrestleMania and get ready for a match.
It's the most impressive Bad Bodhi moment.
When he going off the top rope.
Fuck that. No. Canadian fucking Canadian destroyer on Johnny Drip Drip.
Johnny Drip Drip. Yeah.
You may be water, but you'll never be as moist as Johnny Drip Drip. Dude, he has got to get away from The Miz. Has to. They got a good shtick, but he has become the B sidekick and the guy who used to be the fucking main dude in the clique. Like, I like John Morrison. He's an entertaining wrestler. He always puts on a great show, but doing the sidekick thing right now is getting him fucking nowhere.
They just need to let him go.
Like, I love the glasses he had, too, by the way. The drip-drip glasses. Fucking awesome.
I always expect not to like what Miz has going on, but I always, like, for like the last 5 years, I've been entertained by Miz. And,
did anybody ever notice
that the storylines, like,
some of the bunnies were only had one ear?
Dude, they kept falling off. Did you see
that? Was weird, wasn't it?
They kept falling off. I noticed that when at first there was like an ear laying on the ground. I'm like, dude, that bunny's ear fell off. And I'm like, oh, dude, like 4 or 5 of them fell off.
Like, I was sitting there counting.
Undertaker's got druid. Bad Bunny has one-haired bunnies. And dude, what was even more weirder to me was the video they showed.
It probably got wet.
Of Bad Bunny on, maybe, was it the next night on Raw or was it at WrestleMania? Can't remember. I think it was the next night at Raw. There's a video they show, and it's Bad Bunny's music playing, and then Triple H is rolling. Like, he's standing there, and this fucking, you see a car go by. Car goes by, and Triple H is just staying on the other side of the road with this big-ass silver box. And he walks up to him. He opens the box, and he's like, no, it's time for you to go do what you do. And there's this giant microphone in the box. Bad Bunny reaches in and pulls out the mic, and the next thing you know, he's on top of the semi with flames on the side of it. And he taps on the roof and it drives off. And then it shows all his tour dates for 2022. And it's like, well, what's he doing for the rest of 2021 then? Not wrestling. See you. Bye. It was fun having you.
I've seen that. It was on the next night.
It was fucking silly, man.
His entrance that night, though, was pretty sweet. From the outside with the semi and all that shit.
I thought it was neat.
It was neat. But that same semi is the one that he drives off on in preview the next night. It was silly.
Damian Priest was impressive.
Yeah. He's a pretty good wrestler. Pretty good.
So probably the best physical match, the most emotional, I think, of the entire night was the main event. The Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Yeah,
very good match. We've had very good story going up to it since Royal Rumble got over with, where that she had to decide what show she wanted. She didn't really decide, but she was on SmackDown, and they kept doing this. Oh, I think you're so great. Well, I think you're so great. And they tag teamed with each other for a while, and they did that typical WWE thing where it's like, oh, God, like, they're putting these guys together in a tag team. And then it's like, you know, they're going to let them win the tag team titles, and then she's going to end up challenging her for the belt while they're the tag team champs. And it just kind of got a little goofy for a minute. But it was just, they've done it a million times.
Right.
So
she, I mean, she cuts a great promo. She cut the best promo of the...
Before WrestleMania, during the reign, she definitely cut the best promo.
See, I didn't see that.
Her Royal Rumble moment when she won the Royal Rumble was full of emotion. And, and she believes what she's saying when she is the toughest, the
EST.
Strongest. She's the EST of everything.
And the BST now, bud.
Yeah, she kept saying that. It's throwing me off.
And now she's fucking Shazam. So.
What I thought was really sweet is her husband actually came out when she won the title.
And ruined her moment?
No, he held her up on his shoulder.
Let her stand out there and hold her title above her head by herself.
Dude, like, that was the most...
It's because the Street Profits weren't on WrestleMania, were they?
No.
They weren't. They didn't wrestle. That's where he got his WrestleMania moment, by stealing his wife's second. Running out there, I'll put her on my shoulders and steal her moment. Very good match, though. Sasha Banks always puts on a great match. Like you said, Bianca Belair, she always steps it up. At the end of the match, Sasha's side was all whipped up from Bianca. Dude, she had her hair whipping with her hair. That braid's long as shit, isn't it? She was using it to choke her at one point.
Sasha Banks pulled it around the rope or whatever and stuck her foot on the rope and pulled it back, and her head was like stuck on the rope. That was... I don't know. I love Bianca Belair, but I don't like her gigantic braid gimmick.
It's kind of neat if you ask me. It's way that's the longest I think I've ever seen it at this point right now, to be honest with you. It's pretty fucking long. But it's neat. She used to take it when she first showed up in NXT and just whip the shit out of people with it.
Wasn't she with the Street Profits for a while?
No, I don't think she ever was.
They probably were like in the same like storylines with each other a couple times, but she was never actually with them in like a group or anything.
I know when they were doing that storyline with Zelina Vega, she was in it.
Yeah, but that was because they had the Andrade and
yeah, he gone now.
Yep.
So that concluded night one or whatever, and
had me super hyped for night two.
I have so much to talk about.
Especially after that main event, I was like, "Oh man, that main event! They're gonna have to step it up for night two. It's gonna be something. I'm stepping into it."
I've been waiting for night two,
dude. And so night two starts with my favorite non-wrestling moment of both nights. Motherfucking Hulk and Titus Pirates.
Pirate Hogan was the shit, dude.
That's my favorite. Like, I have been a diehard lifelong. Anybody that knows me associates Hulk Hogan with me. And
seriously?
That's a joke. But Pirate Hogan is my favorite gimmick he's ever had.
Dude, me too. And I don't like Hulk Hogan. Not a fan. Not a fan of his work. He's not a wrestler. He's a kick and punch guy.
Oh, come on now.
I think the best
kick and punch guy.
Yes,
he. If it wasn't for him, there would never be anything to watch Ric Flair on.
I don't believe that. There would be something to watch Ric Flair on. Have you not seen Ric Flair?
Not in this iteration.
I don't know, bud. There would be something. I think if there was no WWE, there would be just territories everywhere.
Yeah, indie mud show bullshit.
Ric then Ric Flair would be on one of them.
Broke, drunk.
Nah, he'd be the champ of every single one of them. Right now, still.
The backstage segment was the best.
What's that?
It was it was Titus O'Neil, Roman Reigns, or not Roman Reigns, fucking Hulk Hogan and Bayley, and Eric Bischoff came in like, Hulk, didn't you tell me something about a boat? Oh, and they all went off.
The one with the NWO
Titus
was like,
I want to go. I want to ride a boat.
I want to go.
When Bayley tried to jump in with the NWO, and Kevin Nash did the Too Sweet to her, and she wanted to give it to him, and he pulled it back, and Scott Hall was like, oh, you magooed ya.
Yeah, and Sean Altman's like, I actually like what
and then Titus O'Neil's like, yeah, I think I'm going to hit the food tray, and Hogan says, I'm with you, brother, and then everybody else takes off, and X-Pac was like, I actually am a fan of yours, and like, he was the only one that stayed behind, and it was just, that was the best
Bayley's
one.
Turned into a
Titus kind of made it awkward for Hogan out there, too, during the pirate thing.
Good for him.
It made him sweat a little bit.
Hold on a minute there, Hulk. It was funny, man. That was the best segment out of their whole thing together. That one segment right there. Like, all the rest of them were kind of, you could tell they were trying not to laugh or some shit while they were doing them.
Right.
But that one right there in particular was, I felt like, the best one they did together. And they looked just silly as shit. I think Hogan needs to be in Pirates of the Caribbean. They don't need Johnny Depp. They need to hire Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely feel...
I could feel it. I could feel it. Dude, he could have a whole new run as Pirate Hogan.
I think he could, too, especially... I mean, he has the mustache for years.
And then I would be a fan of it. And me and you could watch it together, and you'd be hyped.
Dude, so I'm not going to lie, though. Like, we're sitting at his parents' house, and Hulk Hogan comes out on night one or whatever, and... my son's sitting on the floor right next to me or whatever and just goes, it's Hulk Hogan! Oh my goodness! I felt it.
Dude, did you ask him where John Cena was at like I told you to?
No, you made him fucking cry with that.
Because John Cena doesn't wrestle.
We took him out to breakfast out at in Goofy Ridge.
Hey.
And the whole way back, Clint and Deke are arguing. Like, he's like, John Cena don't even wrestle, dude. And Deke's like, John Cena! So much to the point. I mean, it's like a 20-minute car ride home and shit. And like by the end, Deke is like crying, like, "Go tell Uncle Clint, tell Uncle Clint John Cena wrestles."
No, we just came for meat. I wouldn't buy them more food.
But have you seen the food he can eat?
Listen, the motherfucker needs to know that John Cena don't wrestle no more. There is a reason. There is a reason that you can't see him, and it ain't because you can't see him gimmick. It's because he don't wrestle. He don't want nothing to do with WWE no more.
I thought he was going to be here, but
no. He's seen the storylines. He's been watching. He's smarter than that.
He was in the crowd. He just couldn't see him.
No, he wasn't nowhere near that bullshit because there was a bell there, and B, the storylines are so bad he don't want nothing to do with the shit.
Go ahead.
Nikki Bella mentioned John Cena.
Oh yeah, at her Hall of Fame speech, where she's like, "And I want to thank John
We all know who the fuck was. She was.
Yeah, she said
about.
A kind of side mouth, didn't she? Yeah. Did. Want to thank John for making me actually fucking famous enough to be here. So for the fact that I hung on with his girlfriend for as long as I was, and I
That's
wouldn't be
terrible.
Here. Oh, being his old lady got her fucking over, and don't act like it didn't.
What about Total Divas?
He was off the back of being John Cena's girlfriend, which gave them total divas, which gave them total Bellas, right?
I don't know.
And then John Cena was even nice enough to grace their TV show with his fucking presence to give them ratings. Because they knew that random wrestling fans like you and fuckhead over here would tune in just to watch John Cena on Total Bellas or Total Divas.
No. You're an asshole.
Am I right or am I right? Didn't you say earlier it's your what do you call it?
My guilty pleasure.
Right, because why? Because it gives you the backside. You can get to see John Moxley hopping a fence and running after some guy talking shit.
I've never seen one episode of Total Bellas, and I've never seen one episode of Miz and
That is really good, Miz and Mrs.
Nah, you're a fucking Judy Miz Shore fan, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never watched it either. Judy but either way,
fucking
yes, wrestling. John Cena helped her get to where she's at. The reason they have their little clothing line, I guarantee
Birdie
there's
B.
something to do with John Cena in there. Just somewhere, somehow.
So, first match of the night, Randy Orton versus The Fiend.
Ooh. No.
Would have been great if The Fiend would have won.
The Fiend never wins at WrestleMania.
It would have been great if Alexa Bliss wouldn't have showed up as whatever the fuck she is now.
Supposed to be Sister Abigail.
No. Calling herself something else completely, bud. You're wrong.
Didn't Randy Orton just bleed from the forehead like that?
No, he
weeks
kept
ago?
Spitting up black shit from his mouth. Remember?
Oh, is that the same black shit running down your forehead?
Yeah.
I think the coolest part is we were expecting the Burn Fiend. Then we got
The Fiend?
The Fiend.
They kind of did the same shit with
the Burn Fiend. You thought that The Fiend was actually lit on fire?
No, he healed himself. I thought, it showed a video of him healing himself. Remember, he walked through the fucking shit and then he was healed?
Yeah, then that,
he looked like he's way more in shape than he was last time we saw him.
I was reading.
Angie kept telling me that was not him under there.
I thought it was Bo.
Yeah, that's what I've been
reading. I was like, I bet that's Bo. And then the other Fiend shows up in a minute and there's two of them or some shit.
And then
because he looked like he was in like extremely good shape for being Husky Harris.
He fucking put the boots to Orton the whole match, too.
Dude, they shit on it. They ruined it. They ruined the whole comeback. They put that whole video together where he goes from Burn Fiend into Looking Good Fiend. They had the fucking Jack in the Box. That pops out of the Jack too, in the Box. Right? The whole entrance is sweet. The whole thing was put together great. And then
out of nowhere.
Alexa Randy Bliss has blood coming out of what you can tell is fake crown.
I think the best thing about the night was he did pay tribute to Brody Lee.
Who did?
The Fiend. Bray Wyatt did.
When?
Huh.
When he was doing the yeah. That was...
I didn't see that.
It was during the match. It was like right when he was getting ready to hit Sister Abigail. He did Brody Lee's signature.
I'm going to have to go back and watch again. I didn't see
I
that.
I didn't know Brody Lee had a signature thing.
Yeah,
like, he used to do that yeah thing in WWE, but they made him quit doing it, though. When he'd do that gator roll thing. And then he'd do that gator roll. He'd go, yeah. But they made him stop doing it. Vince McMahon or somebody thought it was annoying.
Oh, Vince let Fiend do it.
So
I don't know if he let him do it, but he might have just fucking done it off the cuff. It's live TV.
Well, you got to think the Fiend was gone during his death.
So I've seen Bray Wyatt tweeted out a picture of like an old oil painting of Samson and Delilah and tagged Alexa Bliss in it.
Yeah, because he befriended Alexa Bliss is why Randy Orton ended up burning him. It made him weak. Yeah. Delilah made Samson weak because she cut his hair. His hair is where he got his strength from. He lost everything.
I'm a big Orton fan and I'm a big Fiend fan, and this is my least favorite match of the entire week.
It would have been great if the Fiend won. I think the match would have been better than the way it ended, but it just wasn't a good match in general. But I think they should have let The Fiend win after you have that big comeback. You know, one RKO. The fucking... How many times have we seen The Fiend just get completely drilled out by people and still get up and then one RKO beat him after he was winning the whole entire match?
Yeah, that dude won, right?
He just ruined that whole gimmick in one night after the whole comeback. Ruined it.
You say that every time we watch a Bray Wyatt match and he loses. You're like, oh man, that should have been his time.
They just shit the bed with it. The whole thing. The whole entrance, the whole comeback, the whole fucking reborn thing. He's been reborn from a burnt fucking fiend into this thing. new monster. Whole new thing. Even in better shape. Ah, fucking, we're going to have him lose. He looks strong losing that way. That's
been
good.
Gone that long.
It's fucking bad.
He's
shit
been gone like 3 months.
Right. That ain't really gone.
He was gone. He got burned in Fastlane.
It's bad. Next.
Next. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Natty Neidhart and Tamina Snuka.
Waste of fucking time.
It was terrible.
Just to have Natty and her win again. You could have them fucking lose just to let Tamina get over, like I said. So when is she ever going to be at fucking WrestleMania in this position ever again? Never. Probably
so she
never.
She got over, right? They won, right?
The first night. The second night they lost.
Oh, they lost?
They could have had them win at WrestleMania just like they did Zack Ryder, get them over. Next night on Monday Night Raw, have them lose to fucking Shayna and Nia.
Yeah.
Fucking trash.
Yeah, I mean, she'll
it wasn't even a good match.
And Tamina, I mean, she's been there for a long time.
It wasn't even a good match. It was a bad match.
It was a bad match. And I don't like Nia Jax anyway.
D minus.
I give it an F.
Yeah, write that shit. Shame on that match.
Shame.
And circle it.
I liked it better than Orton versus Fiend.
Send a fucking email.
I like the Fiend versus.
You would, though.
Then fucking Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I'm not. They suck.
Both the matches, you could have took off the whole card and shortened it up, and I would have had a better Sunday night. I probably wouldn't have fell asleep halfway through this motherfucker if that was not the case.
Fucking talking about matches that Alex is going to completely shit on, he hates fucking Sami Zayn. I don't know why, because he doesn't know what good wrestling is, I don't think.
I like this match.
You didn't like it?
I liked it.
You did like it? I don't know who Paul Logan is. It Paul Logan?
It was Logan Paul.
Logan Paul,
yeah. Like he took a way worse stunner. I thought he died.
Oh, yeah,
the stunner he took looked like he fucking got killed.
Oh, God, dude, you took that wrong.
I subscribed to his YouTube channel, then I unsubscribed.
Yeah, Michael Cole told you to do that?
Uh-huh.
You're fucking fool.
I'd like to subscribe just so I can unsubscribe.
The announcing was particularly horrible as well at WrestleMania this year.
I've seen that new dude just got lead announcer on Raw.
The dude from MLB TV?
The dude that was doing the...
Yeah, he's from MLB TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the British guy was on there too last night.
Sami Zayn looks like that fat guy from...
He looks like the motherfucking Unabomber, dude.
He's trash.
I think he looks like he's fucking is out of control, like he's losing his mind. I love it.
I think he's always I think that's him turned up to 11 though, or whatever. Like yeah. I think
he's paranoid.
Like, a lot of people call him an asshole all the time. Like
paranoid tinfoil hat, crazy acting motherfucker. I thought it was good. It was a good match.
Don't get me wrong, they put on a good match, but I
think it could have
like
been.
They always do.
I think they could have stole the show, but they didn't. They've wrestled each other 10 million times.
Yeah, right.
I think,
we've seen it before.
I think they've had. Yeah, but they still had the ability to steal the whole show. They didn't. They had the ability to do it though.
What is this, KO Mania 5?
Yeah. He had the shirt. I like his shirts. Every year he's got good shirts.
What do you think about Riddle and Sheamus?
Good match. Belly-to-belly overhead from the top rope, bro.
Dude, he actually
that's the
took
best
a
thing
game.
I can say about it. That was fucking phenomenal.
I hate Matt Riddle.
Dude,
you cannot say that belly-to-belly overhead off the top rope was not impressive. Both those dudes are too big to be doing shit like that.
Sheamus
Matt Riddle's
like
too big
up.
To be doing that?
I believe so, yeah. He's the same size as Matt. He's the same height as Sheamus is.
Matt Riddle is just as tall as Sheamus.
Did you not watch the same match that I seen?
He's like 5'7".
No, he's not. He's taller than that.
No, he ain't the same height as fucking Sheamus.
Someone's gonna get their phone out and fact check it. They're about the same height, maybe a foot of each other. But dude, that was impressive. As big as Sheamus is. What's he, probably 280?
Dude, I've been trying to fucking sell you on Sheamus for years.
I don't like Sheamus.
I know you don't.
The belly-to-belly overhead from the top of the rope was very good, though.
You like Sheamus.
I like Sheamus. Yeah, it was a good match.
Beaker-looking motherfucker. I got beat up by Yoshitatsu for $20.
Wait, that was not on screen.
I mean, right. Sheamus, honestly.
That was real life. That was real life. He got beat up by a man smaller than him.
And this motherfucker always calls Randy Orton a transitional champion all the time.
Right.
He's
not.
He's just going to skate past the fact that Matt Riddle was legit, by the definition of the
transitional
U.S. champion.
He wasn't even supposed to win the championship. It was supposed to be Keith Lee.
Right.
Where's he at?
But then they had
he's
to.
Gone. He's gone.
Right. Bad gimmick. Send you home.
Another NXT graduate.
Bad gimmick Vince gave him. send you home.
But, you're a Keith Lee fan. What are you talking about?
Was a Keith Lee fan, but where's he at?
Was a Keith Lee
fan. Right. You know what? To be a fan of someone, they have to be here to wrestle. They're not here to wrestle. Where is he? He's gone.
Home with COVID.
He's gone. He's gone. He's not here.
You don't have to be a fan. They don't have to be an active wrestler.
It was a good match.
I liked Sheamus, Matt Riddle.
Hulk Hogan barely wrestles my entire life. I've been a fan.
Overall, it was a good match, though. impressive from both of them. And I don't
that kick he took made his mouth bleed.
I didn't get to see the bro Derek, which is fine.
How about the, what do they call it? The Nigerian
drum match?
Drum match. Here we go.
It's not like Vince Russo was back in charge of WWE.
For the Intercontinental title.
It was bad.
It was...
So Kofi loses an accent. And
a lot of Apollo big spots with the cane match, with the cane shot, because it's really loud.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Big E's promo package was good.
Both them guys are just... I like Big E. I want to like him a lot, but it's just he's too...
He brings a lot of intensity.
He's too still New Day-ish. Like, yeah, silly. Like, that's not going to get you a championship in WWE. Not a major championship. It just don't.
You're calling the Intercontinental title not a major championship?
It's not anymore. There's two titles that are important in WWE now, Universal and WWE Championship. In between there is jack shit.
I don't know what a Universal title is.
Me neither. But there seems to be one that's more important than the actual WWE Championship itself, which is fucking stupid. Because that ball is not more important than WWE Championship.
I want to know what kind of linguistic coaches they have in WWE, because Kofi drops an accent and Apollo Crews picks him on up.
Yeah, that's strange.
And I did not know he was Nigerian royalty either.
And then, I mean, it's okay that he won the IC title, I guess, because you know he's not going to hold it for very long.
No.
I can't believe the crowds are even behind that guy.
But let's talk about the fact that Dabo Kato showed up. And everybody pretended like nobody knew who the fuck he was.
I didn't know who he was.
Insulted my motherfucking intelligence. You didn't know who he was and sat there and seriously watched fucking Raw Underground?
I just couldn't figure out the face.
He got fucking drafted from Raw Underground to SmackDown on the draft this last year. Big screen, Dabo Kato to SmackDown.
Where is
from
he been,
Raw
man?
Underground. I don't know. You fucking tell me.
I want you to fucking tell me.
I don't even know what his name is no more.
He's just that superstar.
Did they even give him a name?
That superstar, slamming Big E. Who is he? That superstar? Why don't you fucking insult me? They gave his name on Raw Underground 100 fucking million times. When he got drafted, it said his name.
I'm saying
and showed
WrestleMania
his picture
this year. They did not.
They called him that superstar. That superstar there helping Apollo Crews. Why do you want to insult me like that? They didn't even put a fucking mask on him and pretend like he was somebody else. They did that shit with Kane. They put a mask on Kane.
He's part of Retribution.
Yeah.
He should.
That's who I thought it was.
No. Fucking Retribution is going to be the new Hurt Business.
Ah, yeah.
It's fucking bad, Mustafa man. Ali. Let's kick out the good members of Hurt Business so we can get fucking T-Bar and Mace.
They're really putting T-Bar and Mace
in. Ending of Raw ended with those dudes beating up somebody, and then MVP came out and had his arms crossed and was shaking his head like this at him.
After WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
I might have to watch that. That's how it ended?
Mm-hmm.
I seriously might have to watch it.
Yeah, I know.
So we had tag teams. We had babyface tag teams running from fucking heels because we don't want to make them mad. Because who the fuck gets mad in wrestling and WWE? Nobody gets mad. I've never seen anybody mad on WWE. Have you? Let's not make nobody mad.
Now they got a cheat shit.
And now we got a new Hurt Business that has the Retribution.
Tell me Slapjack's in there.
I didn't see Slapjack.
I don't even know who Slapjack. I don't know.
It's T-Bar and Mace.
T-Bar and Mace. I think I might know Slapjack. Isn't he Dominik Dijakovic?
No. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
It is. It's so bad.
We've forgotten about those characters.
They kind of had me hooked with the...
Dabo fucking Kato.
Dude, I knew who it was. I just couldn't put a name to a face. And then when I was reading online, it was Dabo Kato. I was like, oh, well, that makes more sense.
Well, no, you don't. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
And not only that, but what kind of, he had like a weird fucking general outfit on.
Like
is he
going to
be like the new General Adnan? Are they going to do a whole? Is Sergeant Slaughter going to show up like he said and fucking?
He wasn't even in NXT at all ever, right? He just came in
Raw Underground, bud. Him and almost both.
That's
almost
crazy.
Was just.
They should have made those two a tag team.
Oh yeah,
instead of with AJ,
that would have worked. They'd both be fired. Gosh, it sucks.
I mean, Dabo Kato kind of. I mean,
it's fucking bad. It's fucking bad. And the match was bad. There was a gong, Chinese gong.
Do they have those
in Nigeria as well? I'm not certain.
I don't know.
They might. You know, I'm not sure on the history, but I don't think the Chinese gongs are in.
I got up and took a piss, to be honest with you, during this match.
I went to smoke a cigarette.
This next match, I fell asleep.
Asuka and Rhea Ripley?
I'm sad that I did.
They stole the show.
Rhea Ripley.
Ooh, hot take.
Rhea Ripley is impressive and she's very pretty, but I couldn't. I just fell straight to sleep. I couldn't do it.
I thought their match was pretty good.
I think it's because the storyline's so flat.
And on Tuesday, they actually had Bianca Belair, we call it whatever the. Who's the NXT champion?
The women's champion?
Yeah.
Raquel Gonzalez.
They had her, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley all in the ring.
That's cool.
And it was. I thought it was the moment.
I'm sure it was. But it just the storyline's flat. Makes no sense. There was like 30 people that challenged her, and then like she got drafted to Raw like a long fucking time ago and hasn't been on any episode. Just randomly shows up like, hey,
oh yeah,
I've not ever wrestled a match on Raw. You've never wrestled me.
It was like nine straight. She didn't have
you should definitely let me be the number one contender, even though Charlotte just fucking challenged you face to face. And instead she goes, yeah, I'll wrestle you.
I didn't like was Rhea Ripley's entrance.
And a lot of people didn't.
It sounded like they were drunk, honestly.
A lot of people didn't.
Oh, you know what you forgot to give me shit about when we were talking about the last match?
Dabakato.
Besides Dabakato, Big E's entrance.
Dude, Big E's entrance was... It was good. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You fucking... I'm sitting in the middle of the week and Dick, he calls me, he says, hey, who the fuck is Whale?
Whale?
I said, what? And I was thinking about it for a minute and I was like, Whale? I said, oh, you mean Wale? He was like, yeah, sure. You know, it was like, are you sure it's not Whale? It's like, no, it's Wale. And I was like, I said, it's.
Are you sure I'm wrong?
I was like, no, man, it's Wale. I was like, Whale spelled W-H-A-L-E. And he's like, I know, but I thought it was like maybe just like some kind of rapper thing or something, you know?
Rapper.
And I start laughing. I was like, no, he does Big E's music. He's like a big, huge, super wrestling fan. I didn't know he's like a mega wrestling fan too, I guess. He does a bunch of shit with WWE, like promotional shit and things like that.
What else does he do, though,
besides? They were talking about on the radio this morning that they said he's a super huge fan. I guess he does maybe like some of the music, like beats, things like that, possibly. I don't really know. I just know they say he's a mega fan. He does a lot of stuff promotional wise with him outside of, and he does music for Big E. Big E's entrance music is Wale.
So, but he's not like a recording artist.
Yeah, he's a rapper that maybe you've never heard of him, but some child has, like Alex's people.
You know who Wale is?
Nope.
How did you know how to pronounce it then?
I said Wally.
An old whale.
So that brings us to the main event of the night.
What I've been waiting for.
Good match.
It was excellent.
I was upset by the fact they put Daniel Bryan in at the last minute because I'm a traditional one-on-one guy and I wanted to see that spear versus spear. But it helped, I think, in the end because it gave Edge a little time to recuperate in case he had slowed down at all a few steps. Not that he had slowed down a few steps, but if it was a one-on-one match, he might have, especially going that long. It's a decently long match. It was maybe a 15, 20-minute match.
It was good.
It was pretty long. The most amazing thing, I think, of the whole main event is, you know, let's rewind the clock, you know, on each of these guys a couple of years or whatever. Edge, been gone for 7 years, thought he's never going to have to wrestle again, forced to retire the night after WrestleMania, right? And Daniel Bryan, you know, a couple months later, has to retire, never thought he was going to wrestle again.
Yep.
Roman Reigns, leukemia, didn't know if he was ever going to live again.
Looking
bleak
for him for a minute, yep.
And all three of these guys have overcome all these fucking odds to come, and that was... Probably the biggest moment at WrestleMania for me was like, man, all these guys are not supposed to be here.
Right.
And here it is, one more WrestleMania.
And a rip shot, dude. It was a hell of a fucking match.
Dude, it was a
they beat the shit out of each other.
Drag out.
Edge with them chairs, just whipping the shit out of everybody.
Fucking stomping their head on the chairs.
Shoulder to shoulder spear.
Did you notice Daniel Bryan at the end was fucking twitching the whole time.
They like the shoulder to shoulder spear they did to each other.
That was cool.
The concertos he was about to give would have been really cool.
I would have liked to see Edge.
The double body pin at the end.
Dude, just savage, right?
Head of the table.
Boom. Now got both of you.
Makes you wonder who the fuck's going to beat him.
Right.
Who are they going to bring in to beat him?
Can't be Brock Lesnar. Nah. He doesn't beat him.
It'd probably be Randy Orton.
No.
Oh, fuck you.
Probably will be. Table. He just beat the Fiend.
Acknowledge right? him.
Can't be the Fiend.
Acknowledge him.
He can't be the Fiend. Right?
I mean, it has to be The Rock, right?
If not, they should bring in Tama. Tama Tonga. Let them know what time it is. Or John Moxley comes back, shits on everybody.
I read that Seth Rollins is supposed to challenge him next.
Oh, that'll be even worse.
Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns.
I could.
Can we see that already? Can we see that at WrestleMania already?
We haven't seen the head of the table versus whatever the fuck.
It hasn't Roman Reigns like main evented more WrestleManias than like anybody now.
I'd rather see Roman Reigns go to NXT.
Fuck.
Fucking. He's running out of challengers. I know that. Everybody else is running to AEW. They're going to bring somebody up from down low. Adam Cole, baby.
I really thought...
Fuck you.
Adam Cole dethrones Roman Reigns.
Fuck you and your Adam Cole.
I'll laugh at you every day I see you. That'd be so fucking funny.
You think Adam Cole's going to...
If he did,
this motherfucker does.
If I did, I said, how funny would it be if he beat Roman Reigns?
You
would have been
on the same opinion 6 months ago.
Remember when Roman turned and he was like, I fucking hate him. I'll never watch him again.
And now I've had a table shirt.
Yeah, I've had a table shirt.
But this is a one-man bandwagon.
Yeah, bandwagon jumping motherfucker.
Biggest one I've ever seen. I've been a Roman Reigns
fan since he's been in the Shield.
Until he went heel, and then you shit on him.
Yeah, then I shit on him.
And now you're his good buddy again.
Head of the table. Acknowledge me.
I like
head of a round
glove.
Table.
Head of the kid table.
But at the end of the day, it wasn't a very good WrestleMania.
No, I mean, both nights.
Other than the fact that there was fans there who tried to hijack the show a couple times.
Yep.
It wasn't a good WrestleMania.
The network sucked that it was on.
Mm-hmm. It was flat like the whole year.
Yeah. There was no build up to it. I think they really did as good as they probably could have on that night based on what was put into it.
Other than the fact that why were Bobby Lashley and fucking Dolph Ziggler, the tag team SmackDown champions, not able to wrestle, but we had that shit horrible gauntlet fucking match.
Not Bobby Lashley, Bobby Roode.
Or Bobby Roode, I'm sorry. But we had that shit horrible gauntlet women's match the night before. Those two dudes, legit fucking over guys in the ring, don't get a tag team championship match at WrestleMania.
I wish Bobby Roode would go back to being glorious.
Fucking
glorious.
It's stupid. WWE, stop shitting on us as fans. We're not dumb. We're fucking smart.
And get me a t-shirt.
We're going to change the fucking channel and stop watching Monday Night fucking Raw, that's for sure.
You look like Rick Roode.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
I think it's the point of the gimmick.
But
fact is they insult people on a regular basis. Nationwide, of all age groups, they do, and they treat you like, "Oh, you're the greatest thing in the world. You guys are your fans of the best." But then you treat me like I'm an asshole and act like I don't know who the fuck Dabba Kato is.
And also, you owe me $839.16,
or at least a free fucking t-shirt,
or a fucking t-shirt.
Acknowledge that, motherfuckers.
He fucking can't. This guy's got like 35 email addresses so he can get the WWE free.
I do.
For like 80. He's got 84 fucking email accounts.
He's going to fuck around and they're going to find out who you are and all your shit's going to get shut down.
I get like
30-day free trial. Yeah. This motherfucker's getting the 6 months for free if he signs up right now. Deal, not me and you.
I make fake fucking email accounts, bud.
They need to write better TV. I'm done watching Monday Night fucking Raw.
I haven't watched 100%, it in a long time anyway.
100% done with Monday Night. I can't say done with WWE because I like NXT too much. SmackDown's okay written. But Monday Night Raw, your product is soft and weak. It's cookies and cream.
Only thing I like is AEW.
It's shit. And it makes me fucking sad and depressed to watch it on Monday nights. The show that used to be Monday night used to be the motherfucking spot for WCW or the fucking PGA. Monday Night Raw. And now, it ain't even that. It's listen, the Vince. Fucking Hollywood motherfucking writing they got going on over there. And probably the old way they got going on over there. The old garb. Sorry, Bruce. Sorry, Vince. But I think your fucking time has come.
Dude, everybody's been calling Vince McMahon crazy and out of touch since bad. The 70s.
It's bad. Bad shit, horrible TV. And when someone like me, who's a fucking diehard fan, has to turn the channel to something else because it's just completely fucking unwatchable and you insult me on a regular fucking basis.
He gets really hurt about his wrestling.
Dude, he's
like, damn.
He is going hard. I'm a little scared to tell him it's the end of the show.
It is. It's probably a good thing it's the end of the show, to be honest with you, because I can sit here for another hour and just shame these motherfuckers for how bad they treat people on a regular basis. We love you and hate you at the same time, WWE.
Yeah, but you'll keep watching.
You're fucking A, I will. Just like Star Wars. We're just like Star Wars fans.
But I'll let you know, he did drop 50 on an AEW pay-per-view the other day, WWE, so don't think that money can't go elsewhere.
No, it will too, motherfuckers. It will.
What pay-per-view did you get?
The fucking horrible exploding match ring.
Not even going into that fucking pay-per-view.
But the Jericho match was good, though. I will give Jericho props, because Jericho is the man.
You've been talking about WrestleMania for 2 fucking hours. You're going to bring in an AEW pay-per-view from fucking 3 months ago.
Right. Just show you how much more it stands out than WrestleMania. That's a fucking flag for you, WWE. Step the fuck up this year.
You gotta write Vince.
All right, guys.
I'm not gonna write him. I'll email him. People don't write
We're
shit.
We're getting
anymore.
Out of here.
Later.
Stay rad, wrestling fans.